If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
Wow, look at how gay we are. I am so gay with my gayness.
Me too. I'm a homo.
They still got it.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter.
You talk a lot.
And yet you say nothing.
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song. Okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song. Oh, yeah.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
This one seems to be about.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No, thank you. I take it black, like my man.
Roll.
I got some weed at work today. Y'all want to try it out?
Smoke weed.
Just pass it around.
And now,
this is the real action, the pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Our feature presentation.
What's that from? That sounds like a 1950s movie. Put out by the government.
Don't know where that one came from, but enjoy it.
I love that. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it's Friday, the 18th of January. Be happy to see that sound effect go.
I know. I think that every day.
Got to be honest.
Not sexy? Is that what you're saying?
Not so sexy. Much. No, it's the opposite of sexy. So how's everybody, Lisa?
Fine. Doing good.
Still alive?
I'm still alive. You know, I got a pig in the hospital, so I'm very...
oh, that's right.
On pins and needles this week. My pig is undergoing chemotherapy starting today.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. For skin cancer, they do that?
Yeah, well, it's a topical. It's it's not a drug that they inject into you like they would do for humans. It's a topical that they put on your skin. But apparently, it's painful and ugly. And he's got to be in the hospital for about a week. So,
dude, they have hospitals for pigs?
Well, it's a veterinary facility, animal veterinary facility. They do cows and things like that.
It'd be funny if you're visiting a friend and you're walking by rooms and you look in and there's a pig. And you go, hey, wait a minute. What's going on here?
I know. But I hadn't actually planned to mention it, but it's kind of on my mind. And when you said, what's up? How you doing? That's the first thing I thought of. But yeah, it's kind of scary, when you got a pet in the hospital.
Sure.
You know?
How big is your pig?
He's about 600 pounds. And he, I was real worried at his age. He's 10 and a half now. Real worried at his age about anesthesia, too, because it's tough on a lot of animals. And pigs are one of those breeds that just does not do well with anesthesia.
Yeah.
But they had surgery yesterday, had a bunch of stuff removed from his skin, and then they start the chemo today. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for the little
I know how to cheer you up. I know how to really? Cheer you up, Bean. Yeah. Dewan?
What's up, Kevin and Dane? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
Hi,
Dewan.
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, thank you. 2 days ago, I felt that Brad passed away.
Brad Redfro, the actor?
Yeah, former child actor. He passed away.
Right.
He did. Yeah, we felt bad about that, too. He's only 25 years old, Duane.
Yep, same my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, you're living a much cleaner life than he is, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, and I don't know when they have the funeral.
The funeral?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I haven't heard either.
I don't know if it's a public thing or they're just going to do it private and we won't know.
What's the cause of his death?
They have not announced it yet.
I know that he died around 9 a.m. on Tuesday.
Okay.
You seem to be following this pretty closely, Duane.
Yes, but they don't know what the cause of his death yet.
They have to do a toxicology report, see what was in his system, and that usually takes a little while.
Oh, okay.
See if it was drugs.
Now, they know he was drinking the night before. His friends that were with him said that he was drinking and then went to bed.
Yep.
In the club?
We don't know anything beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go on, do you have any... Sorry, go ahead.
Saturday is my brother's birthday. He's going to turn 19.
Your brother's birthday?
Yeah.
How are you celebrating?
Probably give him a birthday card.
A birthday card.
Well, that'll be nice.
It's a hell of a celebration.
Okay.
What about Monday? What about Martin Luther King Day? What are you going to do then?
Just sitting around the house.
Sit around the house.
Right.
Watch the parade on TV.
The Martin Luther King Parade?
Yes, because I don't want to go out there.
Is there one?
Yep.
Okay.
Where is that parade? I don't think I've heard about that, Duane.
On Crenshaw Boulevard by the Crenshaw Plaza. That's where they have the Krispy Kreme donuts at.
I see. Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah. And that parade is on television?
Yep. Live.
Live. All right. Well.
Oh, wow. Well, I'd like to see that.
Sounds like you've got a good plan.
Yeah. The Bionic Woman show still suspended due to the writer's strike?
I'm afraid so. Yeah. That's not coming back anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, I felt bad about that.
Yeah. You liked that show, didn't you?
Yep.
Did you see the new one, The Terminator with Sarah Connor?
The Terminator, yes.
That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Duane, how would you settle this writer's strike? It's been going on for 2 months. What would you do if you were in charge?
They need to end the strike right now.
That's correct.
Well, there you go. That's the answer we were looking for.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic. All right, Duane. Well, anything else we can do for you?
Yes. Do you know former child actresses named Madeline, Vanessa, and Yvonne Zima?
I don't recognize the names. I'm sorry.
One of them played on The Nanny as a little girl, Gracie.
One of them was on The Nanny as a little girl. Okay. And what can we do with that?
You saw the show The Nanny?
I remember it.
Yeah.
With Fran...
What?
I forgot what the actress named. Fran
Drescher.
Oh, Fran Drescher.
Drescher, right?
Yes. She played on The Nanny.
Okay.
Okay, but what are we supposed to do with the child actors that you named?
Matt Flynn played on Near only, but she got two sisters, Vanessa and Yvonne.
Okay, but are you trying to track them down? How can we help you with that?
Nope.
Okay.
I know them, though.
You know them. Oh, I see. Okay. You're friends with them.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to meet. I already met them at.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't. Duane, a little secretive.
We won't press then for more information.
Where did you meet them?
Okay, dude.
All right, Duane, we got to go. We love you.
Love you too.
All right, bye now.
Bye,
Duane.
You know, I love the most.
It's so interesting.
What I love the most about Duane is that he'll bring up a topic, and then we will try to get on the same page and continue that conversation. And when we say something about it, he's so bored.
He's over it. He changes the topic.
Okay. He does. Yeah. We're boring him with his own topic.
Yep. It's a challenge to have a conversation with Duane, but it's always worth it.
He's like,
you know what? Mining for gold is difficult, but there's a payoff. It's gold. That's what it's like with Duane.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, so we got the movie beat.
Great.
We have one last weekend of football before a two-week break and then the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two playoff games. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about that. We're going to talk to Supercross rider Chad Reed. We have Matt Reeves, who's the director of Cloverfield, on the program today. We have Mira Sorvino on the program today.
Ooh,
We have K-Rock World Tour 2008, destination number 2, grand prize. We're going to send somebody to see Radiohead in Barcelona also. So that's coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll take a break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat now.
Foo Fighters on the way, also Green Day, Killers. Now here's Ralph Kramer with the Showbiz Beat for Friday morning. How are you, Ralph?
I'm beat.
Beat.
Tired?
I got this about twice a year. I get the insomnia.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
And I end up tossing and turning until about 1 a.m., and then I drift off finally into a, thank God, just a blissful, deep sleep that gets ravaged awake at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I start hitting the snooze bar.
Yeah.
And then I drift off again, and I'm just so exhausted I can't get out of bed.
But that 45 minutes is the sweetest 45 minutes all day. Isn't it? That sleep you finally get.
But it's almost not worth it because when you wake up from it.
It is. I almost wish I had just stayed up all the way through the night and just, you know, powered through. But it's the worst. And I have no idea what causes it. I don't change anything in my eating habits or anything else. I just sometimes can't get to sleep. And then, you know, 8 months will go by and I'm fine. Just the weirdest thing.
Isn't that weird?
Try alcohol. That's what I use.
Yeah.
No.
I suspect he's tried that already.
That's true. Yeah, that may be my problem.
Good point.
Anyways, take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Way to go, directors. Nice. Way to make the writers look bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jesus. The Directors Guild, whose deal with the Association of Motion Pictures and TV Producers isn't even up until June, started their negotiations 6 days ago for a new settlement, and they've already reached an agreement.
Wow. So it's over. So that's
over. There's no there will be no director's strike.
Now, is this some of the concessions that were made to the directors, might they have some impact on the writers' contract negotiations?
Aha, Bean. An excellent question. Showbiz sources saying that the deal that the directors struck with the producers could indeed be a template that could be used for the writer's strike and may help settling that as well. So there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Do we know if they had as far to go? I mean, maybe the directors had a pretty decent deal.
Well, here's the thing. The directors already had residuals for internet downloads.
Right, so they already...
Oh.
They already had that. But they got that rate doubled. That was one of the key items they were negotiating with. And they did establish a rate for residuals for streaming and clips used on the internet. That was established, which hadn't been in effect before. So it is similar to the things the writers are asking for. However, the writers don't get anything up to this point now for downloads, so they're trying to cross that barrier. But this could be key in helping settle the writer's strike. So, but good on the directors. So that's handled. Now we just have to get the actors done and get the writers back to work, and everything will be everything. That's what we're shooting
for.
By next year sometime. You know what the Foos are saying?
Hmm.
Foo Fighters? You remember the Foo Fighters, don't
Sure.
you? Apparently, they say no matter what happens with the writer's strike, they will appear at the Grammy Awards.
Oh, no kidding.
Maybe it's because they're nominated for 108 of them.
But how could they say that if the Grammys get canceled because of the writer's strike, though?
Well, I doubt it will. I mean, the Golden Globes didn't get canceled for consistency, just they just pared it down to a BS ceremony. Right. I guess the fighters are saying even if it's a BS ceremony, they will
They'll
show
be
up.
There.
Yeah.
Right.
So Beyonce has said the same thing. So it's I guess that's some motivation for the network to try to keep the Grammys.
Yeah, maybe the musicians are trying to not let it get taken away.
Yeah.
They're not in the Writers
maybe
Guild, right?
Maybe it'll be a pared-down hour-and-a-half show of just performances and awards being handed out with no BS patter.
That would be wonderful.
Be fine with me.
You know, there are so many musicians these days, like Beyonce, who's also an actress, for instance. I wonder about, you know, people like them may get some pressure to not cross a picket line, or Justin Timberlake, or, you know, a number of others come to mind, Dave Matthews, that kind of do both.
I think they could legitimately say, look, I'm here as a musical performer, you know, this is an award for musicians, and I feel I have a right to be here.
Mr. Grammy, what are you hearing?
Nothing.
Still no word from you, huh? I would like Kevin to just Kevin, and then performances. Just Kevin live, announcing all the nominees and winners, and then the performances.
I don't see that happening.
It'd be the greatest show ever on television.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Do we have time for some greatness from Kevin?
Yes!
Some
sure we do.
Oh my God,
I defer to Ralph. It's his time.
I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is.
I love it, Randolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John? What the hell?
So then I tried it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Shit. This doesn't sound real.
I know. That's why I had him put it on the CD for me.
I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on the CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
Couldn't have been written any better. Not a comedy sketch, like something that would be on Saturday Night Live back when it used to be funny.
Yeah.
The announcer guy who can't get anyone's name right.
I was so hungover that day.
But in Kevin's defense, he always says, well, they're not going to call me this year. And then they always do. That's what's bizarre about it is they keep having him back.
True.
Yeah, what's wrong with them?
They have to come.
What's wrong with Kevin. What's wrong with the Grammy people?
They have to come to their senses at some point.
And he barely cuts through the music, too. I mean, it seems like a lot of work to record him. And then you can almost not even hear him on the telecast.
I think they have him every year because they know of his great love for Maroon 5. That's what I think.
Come on, Ralph.
Well, you do love Maroon 5.
Let's
face it. Well, then why are you always asking for us to give love to Maroon 5 if you don't?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, Maroon 5. That's almost lightning-esque.
Boy, that was really gay.
I know.
Speaking of the music industry, very rarely does the Kevin and Bean Show do anything.
In any way
that has any sort of resonance in pop culture. I mean, our timing is rarely right on, but in this particular case, with this particular showbiz story, it is frankly magical.
Okay.
TheDefamer.com. Are you familiar with TheDefamer.com?
Yes.
Which is a showbiz gossip website, which I don't put too much stock in, because believe it or not, they once wrote ran a mention of me on Defamer.com.
Right.
Ran an article. It was over a year ago, and they said K-Rock Radio's Ralph Garman was seen at the Grove shopping at the Barnes & Noble looking at BBC documentaries or something. How high-end or anything. Could it be he's getting bored at home with his porn star wife, Carrie?
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, they've got... I remember being at the Barnes & Noble, but I think they got the second half of the story slightly wrong.
I didn't know your wife did porn.
Yeah, neither did she.
How about that?
Imagine her surprise when she read that in Defamer.com.
So,
I'm just saying, don't put too much stock into it. But they are running a story today about Simon Cowell.
Yes.
That apparently they were tipped off by his maid, a cleaning woman that worked at his home, who said that she found in his drawer while cleaning his house. And she says she's spilled the story because he's not a nice man, apparently.
So. Excellent.
She found in his house a tube of cream.
Right.
And that cream? Notaro.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
We just talked to that guy yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What are the odds of our show having that kind of timing?
It's for a smelly penis problem.
Simon Cowell's got smelly penis.
Having smelly genitals is a huge turnoff to women.
Okay.
And a turtleneck, probably.
Well, he's a Brit. They all got him over there.
Did
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. The English don't circumcise.
Wow.
So, yeah, Simon's got the...
That's funny.
Got the stinky rod.
Oh.
Creepy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a pretty great phrase. I'm never going to watch American Idol the same way again.
No, you're not.
I'm going to watch him say, that stunk. I was like, yes, it's you. That's what you're smelling. I love that. Drew Carey's a good dude.
He is.
Yeah, TMZ.com is reporting that Drew has set up a deal with Bob's Big Boy in Burbank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know he loves that joint.
Yeah.
That's his hangout.
Goes there all the time.
When we used to work on that side of the hill, how many times would you see him at Big Boy? Pretty much any time we went in there, we'd see him.
Every time, and he'd be there by himself, just hanging out.
Sitting at the counter, reading, eating. Apparently, he has set up a deal with Bob's Big Boy that any striking writer who comes in there to eat and shows his Writers Guild of America card, that meal automatically goes on Drew's tab.
No kidding.
Writer eats for free. And Drew will pick up his tab.
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Reportedly, according to sources, so far he has shelled out $10,000 worth of meals for striking writers who are starving on the
Wow.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
I am going to join the Writers Guild. I did not know I could get a free Bob's Big Boy meal.
I don't think that's how it's supposed to work.
Really not the point, I think, of the
story.
But
I'm saying, how cool is that?
But once the strike's over, you have to pay for your own meals.
Well, yeah.
And that would hurt you.
It would pain him deeply.
But, you know, with that blog of his, he certainly qualifies.
As a writer?
As what?
Yeah, as a writer.
As an out-of-work writer?
Yeah, bloggers.
As a failed writer?
Be in the guild.
I sense the mocking tone, Lisa.
No. Me? No.
No. So here's the difference between Drew Carey and Britney Spears. Drew Carey has shelled out $10,000 worth of food for writers who are going through a hard financial time right now.
Right.
TMZ also reports that Britney Spears last night, or two nights ago rather, shelled out $10,000 at Kitson. She made Kitson open for her at 1:30 a.m. so she could go shopping.
Who
after,
do you even
after
call
clubbing.
To make that happen?
Steve Kitson.
Is that a guy?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. So they open it for her at 1:30.
Open for 1:30, and she goes through, picks up a sweatshirt for $265, a bottle of perfume for $90, a handbag for about $500, another hoodie for about $100. Anyway, by the time she's all done, she spends $10,000 in the joint. I guess that's why you open at 1:30 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, it's worth it.
So she's piddling away money on sweatshirts. $500 sweatshirts and Drew Carey's feed and writers. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's one of the many differences.
Yes.
I went to Harvey over there at TMZ.com to do a hard-hitting investigative piece on how much money she has coming in, because we all have seen the rate at which she spends. I wonder what her salary is like.
I thought we saw that. I thought the number was $750,000
a month or something, right? Or almost $1 million a month.
Yeah. $700, $800 a month is
that, great. That can't be still record royalties, can it be?
I don't know. I don't even remember where I saw it, but
yeah, I remember that number as well.
Because they were talking about it when KFED was with her, and they were splitting up and all that stuff. How much does she get? How much does he?
Yeah.
Speaking of the Spears family, Jamie Lynn Spears, according to In Touch magazine, is now pregnant and alone.
Oh, good. They broke up.
Her boyfriend and alleged father of her baby, Casey Aldridge, has apparently dumped her, according to the magazine.
Excellent.
And demanded a paternity test because he doesn't think he's the father anymore.
Yeah. Well, and what if he's not?
That would be the greatest story. Once again, the script would just keep getting more and more unbelievable.
Ralph, you did the story that the rumors were it wasn't his.
It was an older executive at Nickelodeon, apparently. That's the rumor that was going around. So maybe Casey caught wind of that, and now he wants some answers himself.
Wow.
How about
fantastic.
That?
So it's good time. Over there in the Spears
camp. F you effing bitch.
Omar's favorite girl, Rachel Ray, in the news.
Oh, he loves her.
According to New York Magazine, she was filming a commercial for Dunkin' Donuts coffee. You know, she's the spokesperson for their coffee
yes.
now.
Okay.
She caught a lot of flack from nutritionists and stuff because she's supposed to be all about healthy eating. And they say, how can you represent a company like Dunkin' Donuts because they sell those deep-fried balls of death
right.
and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, she just sells their coffee. That is a good bet. She just sells their coffee, so she's filming a commercial for the coffee, and she's apparently a bit of a diva and was demanding her coffee on the set, and someone brought her a cup of the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and she said, what is this S? Demanding her coffee, and apparently her assistant had brought her Starbucks, and she was drinking Starbucks on the set. She didn't want to drink the Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Wow.
That's a little bit of a slap in the face of her client.
That can't make them too happy, yeah.
Awesome.
All right, I'm out of time, but come back in about an hour. I've got a great story about what Rambo's got to say about Jason Bourne. You won't believe it.
Oh, fantastic.
Entertaining,
yeah.
It's on.
It is on. It's like Donkey Kong. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Costner, actor, director. He's 53 years old today. Jesse L. Martin, who has been so good for so long on Law & Order, he is 39 years old today. Jason Segel, who was on Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite shows of all time, can currently be seen on How I Met Your Mother. He is 28 years old today. And Jonathan Davis, our pal Jonathan Davis from Korn, is 37. Jonathan, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? That's what I figured. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oscar winner, Mirror Street Room? No? Yes?
The search is on. Not sure where she is exactly. She's not where she's supposed to be, and now they have her. Good. I'm hearing they have her now.
Oh, good.
Oh, do they have her to talk to us, or do they have her just to mock us with?
Well, you tell me. Lightning says we have her. What does that mean to you?
I think that means she's coming on the program.
Okay. All right.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I love her and always have and couldn't be more excited to see one of my favorite actresses teamed up with one of my favorite TV shows right after the Super Bowl.
Can't go to the line.
What are you talking about?
No,
but we have her.
He doesn't. It's not on hold, though. There we go. Okay, go ahead, B, with the big intro.
Blah, blah, blah.
Start again. No, start again.
One of my favorite. And it's House. Mira, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again.
You too. I was just saying, while you were apparently looking for your coat or your keys or something, that we couldn't be more excited when actors we love, like you, are on the best show on TV, House. That's a match made in heaven.
Well, I'm the craziest fan of House. I think I frightened Hugh Laurie at the Golden Globes a few years ago when I told him just how very much I love the show, and you know, he was there with his lovely British wife, and I think my effusiveness was a little scary.
Did they call security over and have you escorted out, or?
No, but I thought I had ruined any chance of ever being on House. I mean, it's like I'm that much of a fan that, like, you know, basically it sort of goes like this. Like when I was a kid, like when I used to watch like reruns of old Star Trek with my dad, I would have done anything to be on like the Enterprise with like Kirk and stuff.
Sure, sure.
Then there was like Steve Austin. If I could have been on $6 Million Man, like, and now it's House. You know?
So is that like, why? Is that why your part is a doctor stationed at the South Pole, about as far away from Hugh Laurie as?
Yes, they built it in that way. There would be actually, you know, no, I couldn't come within 100 feet of the character.
Yeah,
oh, that's so sad.
So you are basically, and this is people who maybe don't follow the news, maybe didn't hear this story, but I mean, this is kind of based on a true life story, a little bit about one of the scientists down there who had cancer, right, Mara, from a couple years ago.
Well, you know, that didn't come up when we were doing the story. I mean, I think it has reference to it, although it doesn't follow exactly the same medical plot line. I mean, I think the basic premise came from that idea, but,
right.
You know, they sort of just, it was a jumping off point for them.
Sure, I understand. Yeah, so you're down there at the South Pole, this doctor was, and of course you can't fly in or out for several months of the year, so basically she had to get medical treatment via webcam. I mean, that's basically how they advised her what to do and everything, and I guess that's what you do. Now, where did you film this with all the snow and ice that you must have needed for the South Pole?
Well, I was told yesterday during a satellite tour that we should have filmed it in North Dakota by the people in North Dakota.
Sure.
They said there was no difference. But we just did it in sunny L.A. in a, you know, on the soundstage. They actually built a whirling blizzard outside with fake snow and stuff. It was actually pretty cool.
That's the best. You step outside and it's sunny.
Much more comfy.
Yeah. That's how they should really be at the South Pole. They should have sun and
yes.
be warm. That'd be cool. So, House is such a great show. Why, Mira? Is it the writers? Because it seems like they lead you down 15 different pathways that are all viable, and then they tell you it's none of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a like a brilliant marriage between the writers and the actors, because I think without Hugh Laurie's House, the show wouldn't exist, really. You
yeah.
know, I mean, his character is so great. I mean, he's just one of those sort of for the ages kind of characters. Like, he just, there's something unique about him, and sardonic and funny and attractive and shocking, and you know, there's just a lot of things that he personally brings to it that I don't think anybody else could have brought to it. It's his creation. But that being said, the show is brilliantly written, and they're very, very serious about it. When I, you know, talked with the writers there, they deliberate for months about certain lines, about things that will lead you down one path or another, both medically and characterologically, in terms of all the different characters' arcs, and so and the dialogue is so witty, it's really like repartee from like a, you know, 30s movie or something.
Yeah, it is one of those TV shows that you watch and go, well, I wish I could talk like that. That'd be cool.
I wish real people existed that were that smart.
Smart, witty.
What about as an actor, and you've had the opportunity to play a bunch of different kinds of roles with a bunch of different character backgrounds and stuff, you have to be in awe of how unbelievable his American accent is and still be in character.
Yeah, well, first of all, when I first met him, he had his British accent, and it was like meeting a completely different person. I mean, the personality, the sound, everything was just totally foreign. And then when I came to the sit-down reading of the first day of the script, they had actually called me back in from Rome. I was in Rome at the Rome Film Festival, and I got a call saying, oh, there's a guest part on House, and they say it's the best female role they've ever written. And I was like, oh my God! So like, we cut our vacation short, and I came back, and there they all were. And I walked into the room, and it was like seeing all the characters. But as I was like, oh, there's Cuddy, and there's Wilson, and there, you know, and there was House in the middle, and he was, you know, reading it in his House American accent. But then once the thing was over, he actually continued speaking with the American accent, and does so all day long on the set.
Is that right?
And then it's like you're talking to House, because I guess his, you know, when he speaks the American dialect and brings some of his own personality to bear, he's quite similar to House, and very different from the man that I met at the Globes. And it was fascinating, and he does a perfect accent. I have never once heard him mess up.
Does he, as
actors, you kind of tend to hear it, because, you know, we do it the other way. Like, if I'm doing a British accent, you know, I'm always mm-hmm. checking to see where I'm screwing up.
Right.
So, it's pretty impressive. It's a pretty awesome mastery of our beautiful dialect.
Does he stay in character as an a-hole, like he is, his character is on the show?
No, he's really nice. Actually, right. He was really generous and nice. But he's a strong personality. I mean, he's like a strong, you know, he's no shrinking violet.
No,
certainly not. Well, House is, you know, of course, one of the five most popular shows on TV anyway, so there's no danger people were going to miss your appearance. But how about when you found out, oh, by the way, we're also going to put it on after the Super Bowl?
Well, it was pretty cool because, you know, I've never done, except for Will and Grace, I've never done, like I did one episode of that. I don't do episodic TV. I've never done it, really. So just to hear that, oh, yeah, the one time I decide to do it because I'm so in love with that show, it's going to be like their biggest episode of the year. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, right after the Super Bowl. They usually put a new show there, it seems like.
Yeah, but, quite often. They do.
I'm glad they're showing this one because the people who haven't seen it yet are missing out on a great show. And Mira Sorvino, we appreciate you talking to us today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye now. That's Mira Sorvino going to be on House.
Sure is.
Yeah, very cool.
Right after the Super Bowl.
As you know, things are changing fast in the automotive industry. What was it last week? I think Toyota surpassed General Motors or something like that as the top car maker in the U.S. And, you know, we heard all that news about the Indian car last week that made the headlines, the $2,500 car.
Yep.
Well, the Chinese are getting into the act. Apparently, the Chinese have been showing up at the Detroit Car Show recently, for instance, with some of their new models. And now they're kind of getting into the international car market.
There's a place called the Beijing Lixi Guangming Automobile Design Company.
Hey.
Well done.
Really?
And it is. And they have three cars that they have introduced. The names are a little curious, so we thought we would have a spokesman on from that company.
Okay.
And we'll go to him now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randai. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Now, did my partner get it right? It's the Beijing Lixi Guangming Automobile Design Company Limited?
That's right. That's our name. Just roll off the tongue, don't it?
It sure does.
Call us LSMG. LSGM.
LSGM. Okay.
Yes. LSGM. Okay.
Lixi Guangming.
Right. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Lo Dong Wang.
Lo Dong Wang. Okay. So what about these new cars that you showed in Detroit? What's the deal with them?
They're best cars ever. Everybody should buy one.
Now, I've seen one picture of one of these cars, and it might be the most hideous thing I've ever seen in my life.
How dare you?
It just looks like two giant bubbles.
Yeah.
How dare you say that? That car's beautiful.
Well,
No.
No. If you look at it from the side, it looks like a giant fly eyes, pretty much. You know what I mean? Just huge, giant. And the names of them, one of the cars is named...
First of all, that car is beautiful. You should have seen the first car we made. That was incredible ugly.
Really?
Yeah, it was called the Sandra O.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we called it.
Really?
That was ugly.
Some of our cars have odd names.
Well, all of your cars have odd names. One of them is named the Book of Songs.
Yes.
It's not a joke.
Why is that a name for a car? I don't understand.
That makes you sing. You're so happy when you drive it.
Oh.
One of them is named A Piece of Cloud.
Yes. Yes, you go down the road, you're like, oh. It just goes so softly, you feel like you're flying on clouds.
But it's not clouds, it's just a piece of cloud.
A piece of cloud. It's like your own little piece of cloud.
Right. And then
you
the other
driving.
And then the other one is named Detroit Fish. And I don't know if you know much about the Detroit area, but you don't want to eat fish that are there.
No, I went fishing in Detroit once.
You did?
Yes. I caught a condom.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Detroit fish is two great tastes that taste great together, is what it sounds like.
We also have a car called the Black Giant.
The Black Giant?
Yes.
I haven't heard of that one.
Named after porn star Shane Diesel.
Is that right?
He's Blackzilla. He had
impressive.
A huge way.
Yes, he does. That's true.
He ripped girls up.
We didn't know you were aware of that.
I love black porn.
Okay, good.
Let me ask you this, Low Dog, and that is, there are some concerns among American consumers with all the recalls of Chinese products in recent months that maybe, I don't know, you don't want to risk your life by getting in a Chinese-made automobile.
Our car, safest car ever.
Safest car ever?
Yes. You go up to a top speed on our car, it's 30 miles an hour.
30?
And you don't even get hurt. Because you can't do any damage. It's like being in a bumper car.
But how do you go on the freeway if it only goes 30 miles an hour?
You go slowly on the freeway. That's how you go on freeway. Very carefully.
That's the max speed?
Well, in our electric car. We'll push our electric car mostly.
Okay.
Because that is the wave of the future.
Right.
So everybody in the United States should buy our car.
Okay, you may not be providing the kind of automobiles that we need here in America. We need something that goes faster than 30 miles an hour. We can't drive it.
Well, we have a normal combustion engine car, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, our new one is called the Dog Eater.
Oh. The Dog Eater.
Yeah. It's got like a cage on the front. So if you like hit a dog, you just keep going, take it home later to eat up. Mm.
That's, we don't really eat dog here.
What's wrong with you?
We're not fans of eating the dog.
Nothing like a nice piece of Sharpay.
No.
Nice Sharpay sirloin.
No.
How about you eat hot dog?
Yes, we do.
Well, same thing.
Well, kind of.
We have a SUV, too.
You have an SUV? What is that?
We call that the Human Rights Crusher. Very effective for running over dissidents.
I see.
Kind of looks like those tanks in Tiananmen Square, does it?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Oh, very nice.
I got you.
We got a pickup truck called the World Dominator.
Okay.
That's just wishful thinking.
Sure, of course.
We got a sports car that goes very fast.
More than 30?
Yeah, like 50.
50?
And we like all you to have it. It's got no seatbelts.
No seatbelts.
It's called Screw You Round Eyes. That's what it's called, Screw You Round Eyes.
I don't understand.
Drive fast and die.
Kevin and Bean, Afro Line is on the air.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Whatever.
All right, I know.
It's back.
It's back, I know.
I need a new car. Who gives a shit?
Hi, it's Alex. Woohoo! I got my eyes fixed. Woohoo! It's too early. Shut the F up. Woohoo!
By the way, I think that's the chick that was tired of Psycho Mike, too.
I think so. I think she's running out of patience with all of us.
It's too early.
A lot of our listeners are not, they really don't care that Alex can see, is what I'm learning. But she really can, and she really, the stuff really worked. So, good on her.
Dude. I just saw this sweet movie called Cucamonga Under Heat, and I had to tell someone. Mr. Khan was like, whoa, awesome. He was like, yeah, you'll get paid plenty. Have you ever seen Cucamonga Under Heat on weed?
We haven't seen it on weed, but it is up at on YouTube. You just search for Cucamonga Heat. It's a college project that our own Omar did.
Uh-huh.
And here's part of his dialogue and why we are so in love with it.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right?
Yes.
Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Come on. For your consideration. That is just, and the sound effects on that are fantastic. Guy puts a pistol to his head. It sounds like a machine gun for 15 seconds before the guy falls. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, American Gladiator. Oh, spandex. Oh.
Okay. That's what I thought. Bean does Hulk Hogan. He does a perfect impression of Hulk Hogan.
Speaking of the Gladiators.
People think that the host of the Gladiators is on our show when Bean does it.
Yeah.
It sounds so real.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? This is the immortal Hulk Hogan, brother. Let me tell you something. We were talking about American Gladiators a few days ago, and you had some guy on there trying to do my voice. He didn't do it justice, brother. Let me tell you something. When you got the largest arms in the world, and you're saying the prayers, taking the vitamins, and doing the training, you've got to come full force with the Hulk Hogan. And there's another way you can be me, too. You got to spawn a completely spoiled son who thinks he has the first idea of how to do drift racing, and then you got to put some of his friends in the car and plow it into a palm tree at 64 miles an hour, brother. And then right after that, totally get divorced from your wife for 24 years, and that's how you be the Hulkster, brother. And what you gonna do, Jed the Fish, when Hulk Hogan runs wild on you?
Wow.
We have found our new Hulk Hogan. I have been replaced and happily.
No way.
That kicks my ass, brother.
We were talking to the actress that plays in The Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Bean mentioned that he hadn't seen the Terminator movies. So we were trying to catch him up on what the storyline was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
my God, Dean, you have no idea what the Terminator was?
By the way, he's never seen Rambo either. None of them.
What is wrong with you, Bean?
They're for men.
I've seen them.
With the movies, you've never seen the Terminator? And every single day, you walk this earth trying to convince people you're not gay. Are you kidding me? The Terminator? With this disclosure, you are now officially the poster child for people take it in the ass. You disgust me.
All right. First of all, the gays don't want me. Second of all, lots of gay people have seen Terminator, so that's not really the deciding line. You know, I was trying to think about it after we had the conversation the other day. The only Schwarzenegger movie I've ever seen was one that I had to. It was before we had him on as a guest on our show one time. They set up a screening for us to go see End of Days, remember? That was the only one I saw.
That's one of the worst ones he's done.
It was so bad, and he was so bad that it didn't exactly make me want to like rush out and catch up on my Arnold movies.
No, but when the Terminator was out.
Yeah, it was
huge. That's when most of us saw it. And then
but he was a bad actor then, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it didn't count. It wasn't on his shoulders then.
I've heard everybody say that he, not even he could spoil that movie.
No, that was just good.
There's never been anything that's made me want to go to an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, even though I love sci-fi movies too, by the way, which is another interesting thing. You'd think I would go see it just for that.
Yeah, there's no category that Bean belongs to. That's the problem. We say gay, they don't want him either. I mean,
no.
I don't know where to put him.
He's his own man.
He is.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Yeah, Bean's never seen Rambo either. Terminator, Rambo, neither.
Should I go see the new Rambo, guys, when it comes out?
No, it's not for you. I can't wait.
It's not for you.
It's not for you. I can't wait, but it's not for me.
I can't wait either.
He shoots the guy into a pink mist. I mean, come on. That's all you need to know.
Lops his head up with a sickle or a machete or something. It's awesome.
And then hand trachea pull out. That's my thing.
That's right. Kevin keeps thinking that he punches his head off.
It looks like he punches his head off.
He's got a sickle or something in all his hand when he hits the guy.
It's like a garden hoe.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
A garden
hoe. Punches his head off.
Dude, he punched his head off. Even Rambo can't muster that kind of strength, Kevin.
It looked like he punched his head off.
He's not the Thing from the Fantastic Four. He's not the Hulk. He's just Rambo.
Pretty close.
He's not punching anybody's head off.
Pretty close.
No, he isn't.
Is it less likely that a guy in his 60s, like Sylvester Stallone, could be Rambo or that he could be Rocky?
No.
Listen, when you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
100%. Rambo's more realistic than Rocky.
Yeah, because he's got weapons.
If you're
he's got bow and arrow
killer,
and machine gun
you
whatnot.
Can go out in the jungle and wreck people no matter what.
Look how excited Micah is talking about this. If you're a trained killer, you can wreck people forever. To 80, you can just wreck people.
I will say, it is disturbing because he's supposedly living in the jungle for years. He's been this recluse, living in the far-off reaches of Burma or something.
Yeah.
But he's so swole. How is he so big and buff?
Doesn't mean you can't work out, man, just because you're in the jungle.
He's got a gym in the jungle.
Jungle gym.
Yeah,
he's got a jungle gym.
And you remember in Rocky IV, he didn't need any high-tech equipment. He just basically, pulled rocks and stuff, whatever he needed to do.
Deadlift logs and things. That's awesome.
I may be tipping you off to my homosexuality here, but I was watching Rocky IV the other day, and he's training in like Siberia.
In Russia,
sub-zero
top
for
of
months.
Top of a mountaintop.
He's in there for months. He gets in the ring, tan as hell, glazed, like he's been in Bermuda.
It can be sunny and cold in Russia, by the way.
I'm going to be honest, I never noticed that.
But you're not going to be sunbathing in sub-zero temperatures, no matter how sunny it is, douche.
Tough guy. He's a tough guy.
Maybe he found some sort of root he could rub all over himself that's dyed his skin. Some sort of natural tan.
All right, we may need to move on to this. 6:56 on the Kevin Bean Show Friday morning. Ralph does double duty on the Fridays because he'll be back with the movie beat later. But right now, what's going on in the world of showbiz?
You bring weapons? You ain't changing nothing.
Oh, I can't wait. Why is my camera not shuttering?
I don't know.
Can someone turn this up, please?
There we go.
There you go.
Well, it's a new bit. We haven't done this before. I can see why that wouldn't work. Speaking of Rambo and Terminator, Sylvester Stallone told a British tabloid, The Sun, doing an interview to promote his new Rambo movie, that Rambo and Terminator could kick Jason Bourne's ass. He says the characters that he and Arnold Schwarzenegger played in the 80s that Bean never saw were tougher and more hands-on than today's sort of soft movie heroes, who he calls hands-off and intellectual.
Who asked this question?
I guess the reporter.
Could Rambo beat up Jason Bourne?
How would you compare Rambo to the action heroes of today?
Yeah, because we kind of are in a new era of those kinds of intellectual action heroes.
You ain't changing nothing.
Also, Sylvester mentions that he used to be super competitive with Arnold back in the day when they were both action stars. Always wanted to outdo him.
Is that right?
Now that they're both older, they've mellowed considerably, and they meet every Saturday for coffee.
Do they really?
Wouldn't that be the greatest coffee shop ever?
I would give anything to hear that conversation.
Yeah, so is your latte.
Ah, it's hot.
Yeah, I'm going to get a scone. Can I get anything for you while I'm up?
I want a Madeline. The greatest. I just want to sit at a table eavesdrop. Bad news for Dave the King of Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Not only is he uncircumcised, but Kristen Bell's got a boyfriend.
Oh, how's she going to play him like that?
She is out in the open now with her relationship with Dax Shepard. In Touch magazine caught the two making out in public on New Year's Day. So no longer is she trying to keep it under wraps. Speaking of Dave's penis.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, sorry. I suspect that that hurts now a little bit less, now that he's not just a frustrated fanboy at home in the bedroom going on the internet every night for sex. Yeah. I suspect now that he has an actual real-life girlfriend that he probably is, he can probably handle that news a little better.
It's not girlfriend. I don't define the relationship.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't need to.
He's like Eddie Murphy and his
that's
wife.
That's right.
Exactly. Like
they have a deep spiritual bond. They don't need to define the relationship.
Trust me when I say this, Dave. Define it quickly.
Yeah. Just buy a ring. buy a box of rings. Get some change, too, while you're at it in a padlock.
Make things happen
just
quickly.
Just keep her in the bunker.
Don't let her get away, man. There may never be another one.
This is bad news. What? I feel bad.
What?
Are you guys fans of Lily Allen at all? I'm a huge Lily Allen fan.
Yes,
like her
very
album,
talented.
I play the crap out of that in my car. It's just so infectious and adorable. She's got a great voice.
I like her.
Well, apparently this week, Lily suffered a miscarriage.
Oh.
Yeah, she was expecting a baby, but she lost the baby after returning home from vacation with her boyfriend, Ed Simmons, by the way, from the Chemical Brothers. She announced she was pregnant late last year, but apparently they've lost the baby. So our sympathies go out there to Lily and her boyfriend. Speaking of musical artists, have you seen the video of Chris Martin just laying the smackdown on a paparazzo?
No.
Spectacular. You can see it on TMZ.com.
Verbally or physically?
Physically.
Yes.
That's surprising.
Uh-oh.
Well, he's a fighter.
You'd think he has those mellow songs. He's like, do something beautiful. Bang! And he's punching guys out. Gwyneth was in the hospital. Apparently she was sick. And the paparazzi were harassing her as she came out of the hospital.
Yeah.
She came out first to get into the car, and then Chris followed shortly thereafter, and the paparazzo starts getting in his face and firing off all these pictures. And Chris starts yelling at him, just have some respect, you know, we're coming out of the hospital. Well, the guy did not have some respect, and Chris taught him.
Good for him.
Some respect by grabbing him and just slinging him to the ground.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. It's what I would have done. He drew first blood!
So, good for you, Chris. Good for you for standing up for your lady. Your sweet lady baby. More music news. Amy Winehouse has decided she doesn't need rehab to change her life.
That's great.
What she actually needed was a new tattoo.
Okay.
She just had a large feather inked across her shoulders.
A large feather.
Shoulders.
It goes from shoulder to shoulder. Giant feather across her back.
That's a big feather.
She says that the tattoo will boost her confidence.
Oh, good.
And keep her safe while her husband, Blake Fielder Civil, is in jail on charges of perverting justice and grievous bodily harm. The perverting justice charge, by the way.
What is that?
It's some British thing. I don't
perverting
know.
Justice?
Perverting justice.
That's fantastic.
It sounds to me like
trying to get a witness, not to...
Yeah, what do they call it when you get in the way of a legal
obstruction
proceeding?
Justice?
Obstruction of justice. Yeah. I think it's the same thing, but over in England they call it perverting justice.
I like it.
Like a Harvey Levin show.
Perverting justice. Tonight on Perverting Justice.
So anyway, the giant feather will keep her safe and boost her confidence.
Well, of course it will.
I hope that's true.
Have you seen pictures of her lately, Ralph?
Yeah.
How is that woman able to walk on her own?
Yeah.
She looks just frail and just minutes from death.
At least now she's hacked her hair all off and she dyed it platinum blonde.
The end is near.
Looks good with a few teeth.
Yeah.
And speaking of photographs, I'm sorry if you're eating breakfast, people.
Oh, no.
But we now have photographic evidence that Ms. Britney Spears is not indeed pregnant.
We do?
Yes.
Because
if you go to x17.com, they've got pictures of the pop princess on her shopping spree a couple nights ago.
Yes.
Getting out of her limousine.
Oh, no.
She's got the fishnets, the black fishnet stockings on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, as she always is, spread eagle as she gets out of the car. But luckily for all of us, she is wearing panties this time. Unfortunately for all of us, she's wearing white cotton panties, and apparently she seems to be going through that time of the month.
Say that.
While Ms. Spears was in the Rite Aid looking at pregnancy tests, perhaps she could have picked up some tampons.
Oh no! Oh, God! Oh, no, 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 no!
Ew!
Or a panty liner, or some sort of pad with wings. I don't know what you ladies use down there, but she could use some help.
Oh, no.
Creepy.
Some advice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's two girls, one pint right there.
Oh.
That is so true, Dick.
Is there ever a story that you look at and go, I'm just not going to read this one? It's just wrong.
Oh, no.
So she apparently is not pregnant because she apparently had her visitor.
That isn't good for you.
Explain a couple nights ago. Yeah, well, it's more red than pink.
Oh, come on.
What do you want from me? I'm reporting the story.
We can never go back.
I have to report the story.
We can never go back to a time before that happened.
You, as a journalist, sometimes you don't want to report the hard news, but you have to.
You don't have to.
You owe it to the public.
You're not a journalist.
It's like being in Iraq. It's like being in Iraq. You don't want to necessarily report on the body count, but sometimes you have to bring the people the news.
We could have lived our whole lives without ever hearing that story.
Oh, just saying. She's not, she looks to be not pregnant.
Yeah. Well, just say she's not pregnant.
But this is how we know.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
I don't think it's her behind. I think it's her front.
Oh, all right. You don't understand, sir.
It's her befront.
It ain't natural.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Costner turns 53 years old today. Jesse L. Martin from Law & Order is 39.
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but Lisa, no moaning from you over rent going away this summer? What's up with that?
Rent's going away?
What are you talking about?
Rent is closing in June. It's over after all these years on Broadway. When you said Jesse L. Martin, it made me think of it. I thought Lisa would just be in shambles this week.
It's not like I get to New York every year or that I haven't seen Rent twice.
She doesn't care about how do
I'm
you...
I'm fine.
What kind of attention are you paying, Bean?
It's been a big story. I mean, it's one of the most successful Broadway musicals of all time.
Everyone's fine.
Where has it been a big story?
Movie. If you haven't seen it yet, you obviously don't want to.
Lisa doesn't care about it, and you're all got your knickers in a twist.
I don't care. I've never seen it or the movie, but I just figured that
it's
would be something that...
It's a big story. Everyone's talking about it.
Well, it has made a lot of news this
Everyone's
week.
Talking about
closing.
It down at the interior design store.
Only you and Seacrest know about it. That's how big a story it is.
I may follow the news closely. That's
a little more than most.
Jason Segel, very talented actor from Freaks and Geeks and How I Met Your Mother, is 28 years old today. And Jonathan Davis of Korn turns 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you qualified for Radiohead in Barcelona, destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008, you already won the In Rainbow CD this week, and you know we're doing the grand prize drawing this morning, please make sure your phone is on, because we're going to be calling you in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're going to give away that trip to Europe this morning on the show.
By the way, I don't know how we did it, but at one point we talked, I think, Coca-Cola into sending me to the Olympics in Barcelona. They paid for it.
Oh, they did?
Yes, and I was in Barcelona, and it's one of those cities that has an amazing nightlife. Like, you would come outside, you'd just jettison out into the street, and you go, wow, the sun's up already. Damn. It's like 9 a.m. It's a great, great city for nightlife. You're so going to love it.
I went to Barcelona one time many years ago. The only thing I remember is they had an albino gorilla at the zoo. That was the high point
for your memory?
Me. Not so much of the nightlife, but more of the zoo.
Okay.
Here's a great story, and they do these surveys, the Harris company that does the Harris polls, they're legit. They do these surveys every year of America's favorite TV and movie stars. And yesterday, Ralph covered the favorite film stars. And let's face it, we all have actors that we love. We all have actors who, you know, Will Ferrell has a new movie out, I'm going to see it. I mean, they're just some people you go, that's my dude, right? Denzel Washington, number one this year for the second year in a row, the most popular movie star in America. And, man, it's kind of hard to argue with that when you look at the films he's been making in the last
few years. Yeah, I'd go see anything he's in. He's good.
I haven't seen this Great Debaters yet, but I certainly will go see it. He's number one. Tom Hanks, number two this year on the list. Then Johnny Depp, Julia Roberts, Will Smith. The only question we really have about this list is how the hell did John Wayne end up on it again?
Did you able to see the F word right there?
No.
How the f- Oh. Yeah, John Wayne is there, and then Sean Connery and Matt Damon are tied for 7. Sandra Bullock, Bruce Willis, number 10. So that's the top 10. We thought we'd check in. The only person that we really have a relationship with is Sean Connery, because we've talked to him from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got him on the phone. Congratulations. Good morning, Sean.
Hello, you guzzlers.
Okay. All right.
Here right we off go the bat.
That's Sean, right. Right off the bat. Like the baseball bat I'm going to stick in your...
Okay, come okay. on.
You are Sean, awful.
First
How
of all,
dare you let a woman speak in my presence?
You can't talk like that on the radio. We do have rules and regulations in this country, so we're going to ask you once again to watch your language. Would you do that for us?
Well, you know, I've got a rule too, Bean. If you stick your tongue right in my...
Okay. That doesn't well, sound son, much like a rule.
It is. It's a rule. Okay. It's a law. You have to... My brown eyes.
You may have heard in the introduction before we picked up the phone that I think it's admirable. I mean, this far into your career, to still be one of the top 10 most popular movie stars in the world. Congratulations.
Yeah. What number am I?
Tied for 7th.
Have you ever heard such f***ing bullshit?
Well, that's pretty impressive when you consider there are thousands and thousands and thousands of actors.
Yes, but only one f***ing James Bond, all right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, there's more than one James Bond,
right.
But I think you get the gist of what I'm saying.
But you're
all the if it, in your case, you f***.
Come on now. You have to watch your language.
Stop sucking f***.
So you're tied with Matt Damon at number 7.
By the way, speaking of f***.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
How much f*** has Matt Damon f***?
Come on.
Not at all. That's never even been suggested before.
You can
no.
see it in his face.
What are you talking about?
His squinty little eyes all dried shut with
Oh!
He's got a beautiful wife and a couple of beautiful kids. There's no, that's just not the case at all, Sean.
Do they know who the father is yet?
Well, look, here's the thing. You haven't made very many movies this decade, okay? So people do tend to forget, and they think of people that they go to see every weekend. The Johnny Depps and the Will Smiths and the Denzels, those type of people are just the only people who are ahead of you.
I haven't made too many movies.
Well, not saying this decade.
Little film called Entrapment.
Yeah, but that
was Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay, so one in the last 10 years.
By the way, boy, did I ever f*** her.
Oh, Sean, for God's sake.
I lost my class ring inside her.
What I'm saying is you don't put him out the way he did, say, in the 80s. I'm saying you're in semi-retirement now, and I think people are now starting to forget you. That's
I had
all.
To stick a giant magnet in her to get it back.
Sean, that is terrible.
How about Rising Sun? Remember that film?
Barely.
No.
Me and that Wesley Snipes.
Stop, what the hell is wrong with you?
You remember him? He's the guy who doesn't pay his taxes.
Yeah.
Right.
It was all about us versus the
Okay. Listen.
Konnichiwa, sucker.
Okay.
Dude, we gotta go.
Look, you're one of the 10 most popular movie stars in the world. I think you should be proud of that.
I think you should be proud of the fact that you stopped sucking a long enough to do this interview.
Okay. All right, Mr. Connery. Always a delight to catch up with you, sir. You
what
have a great day.
Queer.
Right now, as promised, time for destination number 2 of the World Tour 2008. Still can't believe we do this, by the way. We call up people and give them a trip to Europe to go see Radiohead.
No,
it's unbelievable.
Cool. That would be cool.
We don't have a good track record of connecting with people on the other end of the phone, however.
You think?
Well, let's see how we do today.
Hello?
Kate?
Yes?
Lyman?
Yes?
Kevin and Bean here. How are you?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you guys called me right now.
How are you?
Hi, Kate.
I'm tired. I woke up
just
to hear this.
Oh, well, perfect.
Are you kidding me? Usually people, they win the thing, like you won the In Rainbow CD, and usually what they then do is forget that they're qualified for anything, and they're nowhere to be found on Monday morning, but you were anticipating that we were going to do the drawing this morning.
Yes.
And you're the grand prize winner.
I can't believe this. Thank you so much.
You got a trip for two to Barcelona, Spain. You get airfare. You get two tickets. You get $500 spending cash. That is going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. We were just trying to plan a trip this summer to go to Barcelona. I can't believe
what?
It.
What? Oh, my God.
What are the chances
of
that?
Wait a minute. What? Was it a backup in case you didn't win, or how did...
No, it's for the European Cup. We were going to go and watch it there.
In Barcelona?
But,
You were planning on going to Barcelona this summer?
Yeah, because I've never been.
How about that?
What is the date of the Cup?
It's all June.
All June.
Well, this is middle
of June. Isn't
that interesting? This is June 12th is when you're going to Spain.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
How cool is that?
I can't believe this.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, little tip. They do have topless beaches right there. Topless. But a lot of old women like to go topless. So
yeah, I'm
sometimes good, sometimes bad. And tell your husband or boyfriend they do not like to be videotaped.
Okay, I will.
They will chase you down the street.
Now, how'd you learn that, Kevin? How'd you find out that little
tip? Just a lucky guess.
That's all. Isn't that just so Kevin, though, to be the ugly American, to go over to their beaches and try to videotape their topless women?
We thought we were hiding it at the time, but apparently we weren't because we got chased.
All right. Well, Kate, who are you going to Spain with?
With my boyfriend.
Fantastic.
Actually, I don't know. My sister's going to kill me if I don't take her. Yeah, so well. I was just talking about that.
But think about the good behavior your boyfriend has to be on for the next couple of months. I mean, seriously, knowing that you've got that trip to Spain, you know, in your back pocket, you need to start demanding a lot of stuff.
That's true. That's very true. That's good advice.
Well, congratulations, Kate. We'll have somebody call you back and give you all the details, okay?
Great. Thank you guys so much.
You bet. Thanks.
Boring.
I like that song. What are you talking about with that?
Need more tambourine songs on K-Rock.
I agree.
That one's not going to jolt you out of bed. No, but I like it.
That one's like being born in a bathtub of warm water. That's what that is. All right. Here's the deal. We have a very, very busy Friday show still to come. I know it seems like we've already provided so much entertainment that the show has to be over. We should all be singing Don't Bogart right now. But we actually have a lot more still to come, including Ralph's got the movie beat next hour. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is going to be on just after 8 with a preview of this weekend's NFL games. Dangerously close to the Super Bowl, don't you know? Also, Chad Reed, who's going to be appearing at that Anaheim Supercross 2 at Angel Stadium, is going to be joining us today, too. So all of that straight ahead. But I think Rob's new boyfriend is on the phone right now.
Yes, I'm telling you something. I got a chance to see Cloverfield earlier this week, a movie I've been looking forward to since last July when I first saw the teaser trailer in front of Transformers. And this is a movie made up of actors you may have seen a little bit here and there, but no real stars. And the thing that happens, the movie is brilliantly directed, and I think our next guest actually becomes the star of Cloverfield when you see it. Director Matt Reeves we have on the phone.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
First of all, Cloverfield is just an amazing piece of work. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you liked it.
I loved it.
Okay.
I would imagine you have heard that from a lot of people. You've had a few screenings around town the last couple of weeks, right, Matt?
You know, we have. It's interesting because we made the movie under such secrecy that we couldn't really, you know, normally you go through this process where you show it to a lot of audiences, and we were showing it to people that we knew and people that they knew because we knew that they wouldn't post anything on the internet.
Right,
and so
right.
We've only just started showing the movie, and it's so exciting to see people's response.
Well, that first trailer before the Transformers, when the Statue of Liberty's head goes rolling down the street, you go, what in God's name, and then the date came up. There was no title.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out what the hell it was. That was
cool.
Yeah, Is that the kind of thing that's difficult with as many people had to work on a project like this to keep it quiet?
I mean, you know, it's funny because at the beginning we were so under the radar, nobody cared about us. You know, I don't think anybody realized that we were doing anything. And all we were trying to do was make a kind of throwback to a time when we were kids, like when there was a great teaser trailer for Close Encounters of the Third Kind that came out.
Uh-huh.
And it was this really spooky teaser trailer where you saw all this documentary footage and just this voiceover, like that guy from Frontline saying, you know, like Close Encounters of the First Kind. Is a sighting, and you're seeing footage, and then you're seeing Close Encounters of the Second Kind is evidence, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind is contact. And then it cut to black, and you're like, what is that? How did you see that? And so we were like, we want to do something like that, and this was a total opportunity to do that, because we knew we were going to cast people who weren't recognizable so that it would feel very real, which was the fun of it. And so at the beginning, it was very easy, because nobody knew what we were doing, and nobody cared. And the part where it became hard was where people started caring, and then we had to kept changing the name of the movie when we were shooting so people wouldn't find us, but they always did. It was crazy.
All right, enough small talk. What's the monster?
What's the monster?
Just go see it, Kevin. Just go see it.
You can wait a couple of hours.
Oh, damn you.
I got to tell you, though, for those of you who think you know, all the stuff you see on the internet is not right. So you will be thrilled and surprised.
So, Ralph, you saw the movie and you haven't seen it. And you haven't seen
it. Yeah, there were some cool drawings, but they weren't what was in the movie.
No, that's true. Yeah.
it's funny because somebody has, Matt gets the junk mail like the rest of us. He's probably getting people sending him drawings of what the Cloverfield monster is, and he's probably thinking, hey, that would have been better. I should have done that.
I
love, Matt, the article I saw this week in the LA Times where they interviewed a couple of your actors, and Ralph was talking about what a first-rate cast you've got, even though they're not big names. And even when they were showing up to audition, you gave them very little information. I mean, some of them had already signed their deals, I guess, before they even knew it was a monster movie, before they even saw a full script. I mean, you really kept this thing tight.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was crazy also because there was no script at that point. So we were searching for these people, knowing what the characters were, what we wanted them to be. But we had them come in and read these scenes just to see, you know, what they were like. And they were completely, like, they thought they were trying out essentially for, first they thought they were trying out for Star Trek. Then they thought they were sure. trying out for some sort of weird updating of Felicity because JJ and I created Felicity together.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we started giving them these scenes where, like, they were stabbing, like, hypodermic needles into their chest, which were, like, scenes from Alias, just to see if they could do scary things. And like, what is going on? And then basically, after they signed on, I had to then pitch to them the movie. They couldn't even read a script, so it was crazy. But what? They were amazing. We have a great cast.
What if they didn't? What if they didn't want to sign up for that kind of movie?
Then they were in big trouble.
Yeah. Well, tough. That's what we're doing.
You know, Matt, it's surprising to me. I found out after I had seen the film that the whole budget for Cloverfield was only about $25 million, right?
Yeah, we were, you know, I mean, it's pretty amazing the way the film was made, and we had an amazing group of effects people. We had this incredible company, Double Negative, and this other company, Tippett. Tippett did, like, Starship Troopers, amazing creature stuff, and Double Negative did the Batman, the recent Batman movies, Batman Begins, and mm-hmm. they're doing the new one, and the Bourne Ultimatum movie. So we had great people involved with us, basically to make this garage band crazy monster movie. So it's been an incredible experience.
And on screen, it's a massive emotional piece of work. I mean, it's a big blockbuster monster movie, and it's so cool that you guys did it on such a small budget with such a small cast and really, really focused more on the character aspects of the film versus sort of the horror special effects part of it.
Yeah, that was what was fun for me. I mean, you know, as a director, the excitement of doing something that was so outrageous as a giant monster movie, what would normally be like this crazy tentpole movie, but to do it in the style that was meant to be totally real, that was fantastic. And that was really exciting. And this style really let us do that.
It has to be refreshing, too, because we've all seen trailers. We've all gone to the movies, these big special effect movies, and they know that the special effects are so cool, they don't really have to put much time and effort into the characters and the dialogue, and the rest of it all sucks, but it looks great. You know what I mean?
Oh,
we're so used to that.
I mean, I guess what we're excited about is we feel like not only is that other stuff, you know, in there with the characters and all the craziness that they go through, but then when we actually do get the effects stuff, that it is pretty amazing.
But the beauty, too, is that the effects never draw attention to themselves, Matt. It's all done very subtly and seamlessly, so it works organically into the story. It never seems like, you know, this is the big showcase where we're going to show you the giant special effects scene. They all happen very subtly and in the background sometimes, and it just seems much more natural if it can be natural in a monster movie. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That was the whole weird idea. Like, the idea was that we wanted to make a movie that at the end of the day, had you been there when the giant monster attacked New York City, that you could have made this movie with your own handycam. And so that was sort of the fun of it.
And that monster is what?
Stop it, Kevin.
Right, exactly.
All right.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt. And those just joining us, Matt Reeves is the voice on the phone. He is the director of Cloverfield, available in theaters everywhere today. How tough is it as a director to keep control of what is being shot when literally so much of it is point of view stuff that in a lot of cases your actors are carrying handy cams? I mean, how do you control kind of what's being filmed?
Well, that was fun. I mean, that was the most fun of it because you got to, you know, we improvised, and normally you go into a scene and you shoot multiple angles, and there's a traditional way of shooting, which is the way, of course, I've been shooting everything that I've ever done. But suddenly we were like, okay, we're going to have one angle and one camera, and we would shoot rehearsals. I'd have the actors hold a tiny handy cam, then we'd come in with the bigger cameras, and in some scenes, actually, I let them hold the cameras, and a lot of the work that T.J. Miller does in the movie, he's actually holding the camera, and I was watching through a monitor with the director of photography, Mike Bonvalin, and we would just say, you know, what if you just kind of panned over here a little bit or did this, or a lot of times he would do something completely like amateurish and I'd be like, that's fantastic, like the camera would go out of focus or that kind of stuff. It made it more real.
This sounds like you guys put it,
the fun of it.
This sounds like you guys pieced it together like I would, and it came out great.
That's pretty much what we did.
Wow.
And finally, being able to work with Queen Latifah and Diane Keaton and, you know, having Katie Holmes the film. No, I mean, what a thrill
fabulous.
For a young director,
Bean,
I would admit.
Bean, what
I'm talking wrong movie. Yeah, Queen Latifah's the monster.
You talk about Mad Money. This is Cloverfield.
I'm sorry.
It's a different
I got
film.
Confused for just a second.
Matt, I got to give you, once again, more credit because this movie is a classic monster film in the sense that it has every classic moment you've seen in every monster movie ever before. But because of the point of view and the way you've directed it, it seems completely fresh.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you think so.
It's remarkable. You know, in every monster movie, there's a scene where the troops are called out, and you see these giant tanks are rolling down the street, and they're shooting at the monster, and you always see it from above, and the monster's kind of swatting away at the thing. When you see these troops go by at ground level, and you're right there watching the wheels go past as you're hiding behind a building, it takes on a whole new feel to it. It is unlike anything anyone's ever seen before.
I'm so glad. I mean, that was the cool idea, was to make it feel like, you know, you were one of those people who was just trying to survive. You didn't have any of the answers. You were just trying to get through the night.
It is so much more emotionally involving the way you did it. I just can't tell you how impressed I was.
Hey, Matt.
Oh, thanks.
I know what I wanted to ask you. What's the monster?
Stop it.
Oh, right.
Kevin, I just want to know how to get invited to parties where people look like that. That's the number one thing I keep noticing from the drones. I don't know that many hot people. They're all
in
one room together.
Attractive people, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I love it when movies do that, by the way.
It is, of course, called Cloverfield. Now you've heard about it. Now you've heard from Matt. And we talked to JJ earlier in the week, too, by the way, and we couldn't be bigger fans of his and yours now. But we're so excited for you in this film. We are urging all of our listeners to definitely make plans to catch you this weekend. And Matt, you have any idea what's next for you?
I'm going to do a movie called The Invisible Woman, which actually was the movie that I was writing when JJ came to me and said, okay, come do this monster movie now. And so I was like, all right. So that's what I'll be doing next. I'm excited about it.
You're JJ's slave? He can just order you around like that?
He was like, do this now. I was like, huh? JJ goes, monster.
Okay, I'm in.
Well, congratulations, Matt, and thanks a lot for joining us on K-Rock this morning. We enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
Thank you, man.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Congratulations again to Kate Lyman from Van Nuys. She won the trip for two to Barcelona, Spain to see Radiohead.
Barcelona.
She told us, Ralph, that she was already planning a trip to Barcelona in mid-June, which is when this trip is.
Arrogant whore.
How weird is that? It's arrogant.
No, she's like, oh, I'm going to win. I'm going to go ahead and plan my trip because I'm a big winner because I know I'll win.
But she did win.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't get your point.
I don't follow you at all. I just think she's a very lucky girl, so she must be doing something right with her life. This is like a Ralph sandwich here today because your new boyfriend, Matt Reeves, director of Cloverfield, who I know you love, we just talked to, and your old boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone is going to be coming up after the news at 8. So we got everything for you here today.
We're just going to have a big football monster movie threesome, the three of us.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Anyway, that's on the way coming up, plus the movie beat next hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz news for a Friday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of Matt Reeves and Cloverfield, I'm getting a deluge of pissy emails from people saying, how much money did they pay you to pimp this movie? You keep talking about it. Shut up. Stop kissing this guy's ass. Blah, blah, blah. And why don't you all just kiss my translucent white Irish ass? You effers. Go kill yourselves. Here's the thing. I bag on everything so easily and so freely, stuff I hate. I am just very forthcoming with my bile.
Sure.
That I feel obligated when I'm positive about something, when I like something, to be just as enthusiastic when there's something I really enjoy. So I have no problem with talking about Cloverfield and how much I love it, because I usually don't love a lot of things. I usually hate.
Yes, that's
true. Is the man making you say that?
No, the man isn't making me say that. Okay. I'm making me say that, because people are accusing me of being on the take here or something, and it's cheesing me off.
You should be getting money, by the way, for as much as you talked about it, though.
I just happen to love it. I can't. Look, should they take money away from me when I'm bagging on First Sunday or whatever else we're selling on the station?
Should they know? Do they? Sometimes.
Sometimes they do. But I don't care when they're upset when I hate something.
Right.
And I don't care if people think I'm loving something too much. I just, hey, I got to be me. What else can I be but what I am?
It's a good point.
Thank you so much.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Because anyway, if you had a choice, you'd clearly be someone else.
Oh, right? Easily. Okay. Easily. Which leads me to a real quick email I got. I mentioned this morning I have insomnia this week.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Having a hard time getting to sleep. But when I finally do get sleep, I'm having a hard time waking up because I'm so freaking exhausted all the time.
Right.
This comes from listener Ryan. Says, maybe you're just really excited to go to work.
Yes.
Oh, that could be it.
I used to be like that when I was a kid. I couldn't get to sleep when we were supposed to go to Disneyland the next day. I just couldn't sleep all night long. Maybe being with Kevin and Bean
is
your happiest place on earth.
That's what it is.
Ryan, I think finally you've solved my problem. I'm just so excited to spend the day with Kevin and Bean.
That's what it is.
I just can't sleep at night. There's no Amadeus.
Oh, it is true that every day working here is like another day at Disneyland. You are right about that, Ryan.
It is. It's like being stuck on it's a small world ride. That's what it's like for 10 years.
Simple and annoying.
You're going around and round and just
repetitive.
Vaguely sort of humanoid robots are around you singing the same song over and over and over again, and it starts to make you quite mad. That's what it's like.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Congratulations to Kiefer Sutherland. He's almost finished with his time in the clink.
Well, that's right. He went in before Christmas.
Yeah. ET Online reports that he will be released from jail on Monday morning, just in time for the Martin Luther King Day parade.
Yeah.
I think Kiefer will be in front, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. Carrying a I Got a Dream paper mache bust of the Reverend. He checked into Glendale Jail on December the 5th. And Monday will mark the 47th day of his mandated 48 days. So he did the real time.
He's the only one who's done all this time.
You know why? Glendale. A lot of room in the Glendale jail, I guess. They didn't have to kick him out. All right, what the hell's going on?
I don't think we have time.
This is not about Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King! Martin Luther King! Who's Martin Luther King?
No time?
Equality is going to happen.
I don't think that's what this is about.
No.
I have a dream.
All right, maybe a little later then.
Yeah. That story was about Kiefer Sutherland more than...
This happens to be coming out on Martin Luther King Day.
More than Monday.
Just got excited.
All right.
Congratulations to the Directors Guild of America. They have reached a settlement with the Association of Motion Pictures and TV Producers just 6 days after they started their negotiations.
They're good.
What's wrong with you writers? They did it in 6 days. You people are starving to death. Figure out what they did and go do it. Go back to work. Advice. How tough can it be if directors could do it? Directors are dumb. Writers are smart. You guys should be able to figure it out.
They could have further to go. That's the problem, I think.
It may be, actually. Yeah. Directors were already getting residuals for internet downloads on their work. But in their new deal, it doubled that rate. So good for them. And they have agreed on a rate for residuals for streaming and clips used on the internet as well. So their deal has yet to be ratified by the union's 13,500 members before going into effect. But by all accounts, it will be taken care of quite quickly. So congratulations to the directors of getting that negotiation out of the way. We just get the actors to get things done and get the writers back to work. Yes. Then everything will be everything. It's bad news. British pop singer Lily Allen, one of my favorite new artists, has suffered a miscarriage, according to the London Sun. Hmm. She announced that she was expecting late last year. She and her boyfriend, Ed Simmons, of the Chemical Brothers, were on vacation, apparently. And when she returned home, that's when disaster struck. So, sorry to hear that. I don't know why. But I wish them better luck in the future with their baby-making plans. And Blink drummer Travis Barker is suing Rockstar Energy Drink.
Uh-oh.
He claims that the company's website posted a photo of him holding a Rockstar and identified him by name, which would lead people to believe that Travis was endorsing the product. He never gave them his permission to do so, and so he is suing Rockstar.
Sounds like a legitimate concern if they put a picture of him up on the website.
But if he's got a Rockstar and he's drinking it...
Right.
Isn't he okay with Rockstar, wouldn't you think?
I think it's
not photo. They didn't Photoshop a Rockstar over top of a can of Schlitz malt liquor or something.
I think that's very different, though, than it looking like you're doing a commercial for the product.
But I like your drink. I'll drink it, but I won't endorse it.
Then how? Well, yeah, pay me if you're going to use me.
Yeah. But Ralph's right. What about every fashion line that has a montage on their website of people wearing their jeans? Or wearing their clothing, they put that up on their website of them. They're just walking down the street. Here's Katherine Heigl in genetic denim.
But this isn't an ad either. This is on their website, Lisa.
But does it look like an ad?
Whose side are you on?
I think I'm on his side.
Oh, okay. I just was confused there.
I am too.
What if you're like a big time fashion designer and you show people pictures of people on the red carpet wearing your dresses and stuff? Should they sue you? Should they be compensated for wearing their dress?
Kabaka.
I think that's a little bit different.
Oh,
because
is it? I bet you do think it's a little bit different.
No, I'm going to tell you why, though.
I bet you do.
Because I think that is the deal that is kind of the deal that's worked out with the actresses is that they wear a dress that they get for free in order to promote the brand. I think that is understood. I don't think
what
that there's
Travis
any kind
got
of implied.
This can of Rockstar for free? What if he got it for free?
And I don't think he did. There's any kind of contract implied in I'm going to advertise your product if I drink it.
Yeah,
Ralph,
right.
How would you like it if you opened up a magazine and there was your picture in there drinking a Coke? For instance, they were using you in an ad to sell Coca-Cola, and you were sitting in the Grove drinking a Coke.
It's not in a magazine. It's not in an ad. If it was on Coke's company website and they had me drinking a Coke, I would say, yes, I drink Coke, and you got me. You caught me. And I'm not looking to make
Martin
money
Luther
off
King
it.
Junior. Outside my window.
Nope.
Just saying if Bean's wife brewed Rockstar, it'd be a different story.
It's all
doesn't have anything to do
with everything
that.
To do with that.
They put it. They made it look like an ad for Rockstar.
It's on the company site. They're not putting it in Time Magazine. Ooh, look at him drinking it. It just happens to be on their website. People who drink Rockstar on their website can hardly.
Let's follow that case and see how it is ruled.
Travis.
What about Rockstar, who we talked to a few days ago? What about him?
Yes.
What does he have to say about all this?
He should sue. Yeah.
His name is Rockstar.
And this is a great story on the Defamer.com, which is a gossip website that sometimes gets their facts right. Sometimes doesn't.
Not always.
But I hope this is true because of the timing, since we just talked about this week. Apparently, a woman who cleans homes of the rich and famous was working in Simon Cowell's house recently when she came across a tube of cream. Upon looking further at the cream, she noticed it was called Notaro.
Oh!
Which we discovered this week is a cream that helps solve the problem of smelly penis.
Ew. We just discovered this yesterday, and this woman's coming out saying she found a tube of that in his house?
Yes.
He's icky as it is. That's
having smelly genitals is a huge turnoff to women.
So I guess by some simple deduction, we can assume Simon's got a problem with...
If what she's saying is true. That's correct.
Odorous pole.
Oh, creepy.
By the way, Odorous pole was also a Roman emperor back in the year.
Is that right?
Yeah, 52 BC, I think. he was a benign yet cruel dictator.
Why won't Simon put a shirt on to be on national television? Why does he get to the t-shirt part and then not put a shirt on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not a good look.
It's really bad.
Let's take a look at the celebrity birthday, shall we? By the way, I got another email from Jay, listener Jay Marks, who wrote, "Hey Ralph, I hope when you do celebrity birthdays on Friday."
Sorry.
"I hope when you do celebrity birthdays on Friday, you won't forget to mention super hottie Jennifer Lee Wiggins, star of Shapeshifter, Bone Eater, and Vice Squad Vixens." Everybody I know is totally into her. All the best, Jay. Well, I wasn't familiar with the work of Jennifer Lee Wiggins, so I did a little research, and she was indeed the star of Shapeshifter, Bone Eater, and Vice Squad Vixens.
Is that all one thing?
No, these are three different projects three different she started.
Are they on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I don't know where you can find them, Lisa.
They sound pornish to me. I'm sorry, Bone Eater? How is that not a porn?
Bone Eater apparently is a horror movie.
Really?
Yes. Vice Squad Vixens is an action-adventure film.
Sure.
Okay.
And Shapeshifter, also a science fiction film. So I'm not familiar with Ms. Wiggins' work, but I saw her photograph, and I could see why Jay and his clan would be interested in her. So I just wanted to wish Jennifer Lee Wiggins, star of Bone Eater, a happy, happy birthday.
I'm sorry. Who?
Jennifer Lee Wiggins.
Bone Eater.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Vice Squad Vixens.
That's the best. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Costner, actor and director of Bone Eater, is 53 years old today. Jesse L. Martin, who was, of course, Detective Ed Green on Law & Order for many, many years, and also starred in Shapeshifter, I believe, with Jennifer Lee Wiggins. He's 39 years old today. Jason Segel from Freaks and Geeks and How I Met Your Mother is 28. And Jonathan Davis, one of our pals, singer for Korn. We had him in the studio recently. We asked him how he does that that amazing thing with his voice, and he gave us a little sample of it. Might sound a little better on record than it does live.
Yeah, sure.
It just doesn't sound quite the same. Nah. He's 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to the lying liar who lies. Is he on the phone?
Why is he the lying liar who lies?
Guy who told us the Colts and the Cowboys were going to win last weekend. Is that the guy we're about to talk
Listen,
to?
Listen, you can't hold a guy to his assumptions about what's going to happen on any given Sunday, man.
He's just not truthful. That's all I've seen.
He's on the take, Bean.
Any given Saturday, too, apparently.
Hey, Andrew Siciliano.
Hey, guys, didn't I tell you take the points there?
Yes, he did. He did say that.
I remember. Right.
Thank you.
He picked the home teams, and he said just take the points.
Honestly, I'm kind of apprehensive. I heard 5 minutes ago when I went out to get coffee something about a Ralph. Three guy, what was it, a sandwich?
Yeah.
You were in there, Andrew.
You're a third of that, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of disconcerting.
It's you, me, and the director of Cloverfield. We're going to hang out this weekend.
If I could say this, I have not seen Cloverfield, and I, like Ralph, am not on the take, but my buddy Cliff of the Reels channel saw it and said it was fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
Great.
It's an awesome film.
And it's only 10 minutes long, right?
That's good news.
It runs like 85 minutes. It's really short.
Really?
Yeah, but it's great because most of these big budget movies, they go on for like 2 hours and they keep hitting you with a special effect. You say, all right,
ponderous.
I got it. I just want to go home. This one leaves you wanting a little bit more.
Is the monster scary?
Way scary.
Andrew Siciliano, of course, we know and love from the Red Zone on DirecTV. He is just a sports authority, except when he's wrong. What's the latest? What's the update on the health of the Chargers for this weekend's game, Andrew?
Which is the key to this game for San Diego.
Yeah, the Cloverfield monster, Andrew, is not as scary as Philip Rivers' knees.
No. And you know what? That Rivers injury might actually be worse. I don't have any inside here, but there are a lot of rumors out there that the injury is not nearly, or is worse, rather, than the Chargers are letting on. Neither LT nor Rivers practice Thursday. There's no way LT's sitting out. He is going to play. You could count that. You could mark it down. LT will play. Rivers, I think it's a little more shady, a little more questionable. I assume he's going to be out there, but if he's not, Billy Volek isn't winning this game. There's no way. Honestly, I don't think they win even if Rivers.
That's what I was going to ask you, is if Rivers and LT were healthy, could they beat New England?
No. I still say they lose by two touchdowns.
Wasn't that wasn't Volek when they brought him in? And this is a guy who's had scant play throughout the whole season. Wasn't it so inspirational though to see what a great quarter he put together for a guy who really was kind of plunged into it at the last second?
It was inspirational to see him repeatedly hand the ball off and then dive over the goal line.
Yes, that was inspirational. He did enough to win, is what I'm saying. Which is what I'm sure a lot of people, when Rivers went out, thought, well, that's it. But I mean, they had a backup who was prepared to do what it was necessary.
And this is a guy who actually has come in and played well. A couple of years ago in Tennessee, he put together back-to-back 400-yard games late in the season. He's only the fourth quarterback in NFL history to have back-to-back 400-yard games.
You don't see him doing that against the Patriots?
No way in hell.
Hey, you know, Andrew, maybe you know the answer to this. Why is Rivers such a dick? Yeah, why is he like always jawing with the fans and just making an ass of himself?
I wish I could use it in those terms on my show. But I can't.
You see him run over like to the crowd and start like mouthing at them when they score. You know, something he didn't even have anything to do with.
You know, there's always that one kid in the fraternity that probably can't finish his own fights, but screams and yells and talks. You know what? And then gets his other guys to back it up.
Right,
that's him.
That's Philip Rivers.
It yeah. is.
And last week in Indianapolis, look, I don't know what the fans were saying to him the first couple of those. Maybe they had 15 beers, and maybe they were saying some awful stuff. But Philip didn't even finish the game.
Right.
All right? He's watching from the sideline, and he got hurt on a no-contact play. And then he's screaming at these fans, and he's not even on the field.
Yeah.
When he walked off to go to the locker room to get his knee checked out, he's screaming at the fans then when yep. he's yeah. walking up the tunnel.
Said, I'll be back. I'll be back.
Well, it turns That's out fantastic. Not so much.
He came back out on the field.
He did. He did do that.
He just didn't play.
On Christmas Eve, too. So Christmas Eve with the Chargers and the Broncos. It's Christmas Eve, for Pete's sake. And he's yelling at Jay Cutler in that game in San Diego that yeah. nobody was watching.
Yeah, he rules. So San Diego, New England, what's the line?
The line right now is 13.5. To be honest with you, I'm surprised it hasn't gone up. It opened at like 14 or 13, right around where it is now. I figured it would move to 17 because no one outside of Chula Vista or La Jolla thinks this team can win.
Right.
And they can't win.
And the game's in New England, so they're...
The game's in New England. It's going to be cold. They have all their injuries. They're saying... I'm looking right now at weather.com. It's looking at a low of 12.
Oh!
Now, you...
That's going to be the one game.
That's true. Lambeau's going
to
be worse.
Before we get to that, I want to close, and I think we're all on the same page on this. When you very accurately predicted last Friday that New England was going to have their hands filled with Jacksonville, and they sure did. I mean, they definitely made that a game, but you're saying they're going to steamroll over the Chargers.
I can't see them losing this game. If they lose, this will be, you know, people throw around the world arguably, the yeah, word yeah. arguably, because arguably is the most meaningless word on earth. I'm arguably the Queen of England. I'm not, but I can make the argument.
You
right?
could argue that. That's okay. right. That's
this
a good point.
This will be, arguably, the greatest playoff upset in NFL history if
I
the
agree.
Chargers win this game.
Yeah. All right, New York Giants at Green Bay.
Yeah. Colder.
Yeah, it's going to be like,
colder than 12.
Colder than 12. Right now, I just checked, the low for Sunday. And remember, this is a late kickoff. This is a 5:30 mm-hmm. local kickoff. They're talking about a low of zero, maybe hanging around 2 degrees, 3 degrees below zero, a wind chill of maybe 20 below zero.
Oh, dear God.
And some of the Giants are trying to act tough here. Sean O'Hara from the offensive line, most notably, said he's not going to wear sleeves.
Good. And his arms will snap off.
Hey, Andrew, why after the game, and of course I was very sad to see how pathetic the Seahawks were Saturday. I mean, they couldn't have played any worse. But why after the game did Brett Favre say that he has always wanted to play a game in those conditions at Lambeau Field, that he was praying for heavy, heavy snowfall, and he was so excited to see it come? Why did he want that?
Because the Packers have this mentality that when it's like that, they will not lose. They're at home. It's their backyard. You, the road team, have to conform to them, have to play in their conditions. It's the frozen tundra. It's NFL films. It's the ice bowl. It's frozen coffee. It's Jerry Kramer. It's all that stuff. It's their backyard, and there's no way you're going to beat them in it.
Basically. And will we see that kind of snow? I mean, you could not make out the field in that fourth quarter last week. Will we see that same kind of snow this weekend's game?
No, we're not going to see the snow. They say maybe some flurries, maybe some light snow, but it's not supposed to snow like that. But it is supposed to be that much colder, which is worse than the snow. Wow. Far worse than the snow.
You know, at a certain point, you have to wonder, you have to worry about the health of the players playing in those kind of conditions.
With exposed skin, yeah, you do. Even if you're running around and even if you're sweating, the fact is you shouldn't be out like that. You need to cover up. You need to cover your face with frickin' Vaseline, yeah, to be honest with you, so you don't get frostbite. It's that bad.
And Eli Manning, the retarded seventh grader, is still the quarterback of the Giants?
I kind of like to call him Quirky from Life Goes On.
He is.
Doesn't he kind of have that look to him?
What a mouth breather this kid is.
Just, he just looks like
he's having plays. Like, what happened?
He's on the short bus. There's no question about it.
He's 9-1 on the road this year.
I know, but look at him. He's 14.
I don't know. This is going to be a close game. Guys, it's a 7-point line if you look at that kind of thing. The Packers are a 7-point favorite. I think they win because, hey, Ralph would love this. All right, 1980. What happened in 1980?
Oh, please.
You're going all the way back.
Hey, you're not going to 80. What?
Well, the Eagles won the NFC
That's
Championship
right.
game.
Yes, it is.
Green Bay is the first 2 seed to host the NFC Championship game since the 80 Eagles.
Okay.
We defeated Dallas that
yes,
that year has nothing to do with now. You know
no,
that,
I know
right?
that. So okay. I figured we'd tie it in and bring it full circle.
A little history. Okay. A little history lesson.
I'm very sad because this is the last weekend of football before the Super Bowl.
It is.
And then
baseball.
You just got baseball.
And then
baseball.
The best sport in the world, right? Exactly. Andrew's with me on that.
We don't. Know, next week is the worst week because there's
yes,
nothing.
There's nothing
it's
next
nothing
week.
But hype and cameras hanging outside of a Randy Moss courtroom in Florida.
Yes, right.
And that is what's going to suck next week.
Hey, don't talk about Randy Moss. That's my teammate. Don't point the finger. Don't you point the finger. That's not fair. That's hey, unfair to do that.
Are you doing, is that T.O. there?
How yeah. great was that T.O. clip?
He's a woman.
Oh.
Come on. That was... Well, he made it worse, too, because it went from a football story to a TMZ and celebrity story.
Yeah.
Once he started crying, then all the celebrity outlets had something to latch on to.
Of course.
That story up for 48 more hours.
That was the right. best. And then yep. he awesome. Went on to say how he's always been supportive of his quarterbacks.
Oh,
and all. Oh, my God, that was great.
There's never been a quarterback that he couldn't throw under the short bus.
That's yeah, correct. That's true. And Eli was driving.
Andrew Siciliano is picking the favorites again this weekend. New England over San Diego, Green Bay over New York. I think we all expect that to happen as well. And Andrew, it's sad to not spend our Sundays with you. I'll say it one more time. We can't wait for the Red Zone next year, but it's great to talk to you, and I hope we'll do it again soon.
It was sad not to spend it with you guys and take the Giants and the points.
There you go.
All right. All good right. enough.
Thank you. Bye now. Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I hate to disappoint, but this week I've seen 2 movies that are coming out this weekend.
You're not what? Supposed to see any of them.
I know, I slipped. I'm sorry, I called my sponsor and I'm back on the program now.
But, the hell?
2 out of the 5 movies that are going to be new in Southland Cineplex has actually had a chance to see, so I can talk about them with a certain amount of knowledge. Let's start off with a movie that is only in selected theaters around the Southland called Teeth.
Teeth.
This is a yes. horror movie about a oh. phenomenon called vagina dentata.
Oh, oh no! Really?
If you aren't familiar with the Latin term, it means a woman who's got teeth in her vagina.
Shut up!
Because that happens.
Come
a lot.
On!
It's an old legend about a woman with sexual power that is able to devour her lover's members with their vagina teeth.
No, no, no!
I always thought that was kind of made up to discourage young men from having early sex, is what I thought.
Actually, being what it is that the myth has been handed down in many different cultures. It's an ancient myth in many cultures, and it represents sort of the empowerment of female sexuality, how dangerous female sexuality can be. You know, sometimes they tell the tale of Samson and Delilah, where Delilah caused Samson to cut his hair and he lost all his strength.
Right.
It's a cautionary tale about the wiles of the female gender and how dangerous and how powerful their sexual allure can be. It's representative of that.
But there's no physical teeth.
Not that we know of so far.
Okay, good.
No,
except
Kevin.
In this,
I'm just checking.
In this horror movie called Teeth, Dawn O'Keefe, the young high school student, does actually have teeth in her vagina and ends up devouring the members of her male attackers.
Oh.
Here's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. Here's the thing. This movie is not nearly as clever as it thinks it is.
Oh, no.
It's sort of an interesting concept to make that myth reality. But they tried to sort of make it a metaphor for this young girl learning about her sexual powers, because Dawn is the leader of her high school abstinence club, and she is all against sex, and she is keeps sex at an arm's length.
Okay.
And when she starts having sex, she starts devouring her lovers because she has this interesting vagina.
I'm out.
And they're trying to make it some sort of allegory, but at the same time, it's just a flat-out basic horror movie where she gets attacked by... Every guy in the movie is violent, by the way, and every guy forces himself on her, and that's why she clenches up and snaps things off.
Okay.
Now, this is an interesting concept for a scary movie, I think, but it would have to be a black comedy, right? It would have to be.
Right. You would think it would be funny.
Maybe in the hands of, like, a Wes Anderson or even a David Lynch. I mean, it would be something sort of quirky and interesting. That no one involved in this movie has nearly that much talent in order to be able to pull it off. No. It's a flat, boring horror movie until the tail end when it tries to get funny, and by then you're so pissed off you don't even care about it anymore. But every man in the movie is a violent predator, including her gynecologist.
Oh, no.
Who she goes to get checked out because she realizes she has teeth in her vagina.
Yeah.
And he violates her.
Oh. Wow.
And here's a little scene from Teeth.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you.
We had five clips. For God's sakes.
That's always
it's
funny.
It's a freaking time. It's 8:34.
I think there might be something weird going on inside.
What did you put in here?
Yeah.
What did you put in here?
He loses his fingers.
Sure. That could happen.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Teeth, a movie with an interesting premise. Could have been fun in the right hands, but sadly no one involved in this movie has that much talent.
So. Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Also opening this weekend in selected theaters is the new Woody Allen film, Cassandra's Dream.
Haven't heard much about this, but what a great cast, huh?
Every once in a while, Woody makes a not funny movie on purpose. And this is a serious drama about two down-on-their-luck brothers, played by Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell, not a bad cast to start with, who are just desperate for money for various reasons, and they end up becoming entangled with a crime boss. In order to make some money, they have to kill someone and deal with the emotional and moral repercussions of that. Tom Wilkinson plays the guy that gets hired by them. Another great actor.
Yeah.
Here's a clip where Colin Farrell's character, Terry, is confessing to his brother, Ian, played by Ewan McGregor, that he owes some money to some loan sharks.
How are you going to pay back £90,000?
I have to. I'll borrow it. With every interest.
Well, from loan sharks? Yeah. Terry, they're going to break your legs.
I kept borrowing and borrowing. I was figuring my luck had to change.
Terry, I came down to see you. And now you're asking to my savings? Jesus Christ.
I'm in real trouble, Ian.
Yes, you're in real trouble.
Good times,
guys. Good actors. I'm going to check that out this weekend. Also, 27 Dresses opens this weekend. Oh, Katherine Heigl, she's been a bridesmaid, but never a bride. And then she meets James Marsden, and wow, I wonder if they'll hook up and get married. I wonder if that's the surprise ending of this movie. 27 Dresses. Here's a scene where James Marsden is poking fun at Katherine Heigl for being enamored with marriage.
I love weddings. I always have.
Really?
Yeah.
Which part? The forced merriment, the horrible music, or the bad food?
Actually, it's meeting upbeat people like yourself.
Don't you think it's a whole lot of ritual for something that, let's face it, it's got about a 50-50 shot of making it out of the gate?
Oh, how very refreshing, a man who doesn't believe in marriage.
I'm just trying to point out the hypocrisy of the spectacle.
Oh, that's so noble of you. Do you also go around telling small children that Santa Claus doesn't exist?
Ah, so you admit that believing in marriage is kind of like believing in Santa Claus.
See?
He's got her!
Okay. Witty.
I wonder if James Marsden changes his mind about marriage when he loses her in the third reel. F you, F this movie, and F Kevin for going to see it.
And I did. I went with my wife last
weekend.
You
said it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, but you know what?
For girls who like chick flicks.
Have I gotten close to any of the plot, Kevin,
well,
just by having seen the trailer?
You know what he does? She loves weddings, so you know what he does? He writes a column for the newspaper about people's weddings.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, I'm so tired of people, like, running into... Remember some of those movies where they live next door to whoever's the opposite of them in this world? So she meets him, she falls in love, he writes, blah, 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 blah.
But if she had teeth in her vagina, that would have made this movie better.
Much more interesting. And next time Katherine Heigl's bitching about how Knocked Up wasn't clever enough for her female character and she wasn't crazy about the movie, make her watch 27 Dresses. Also opening this weekend, Mad Money. Oy vey! Diane Keaton, Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes star as three wacky gals who plan to rob one of the most secure banks in the world. See, they're going to steal all the old money that they're going to shred anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to steal that, and they figure no one will miss that money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to walk out with it because they're crazy ladies.
Yeah.
Sure. Women sure are funny.
They're nutty.
When I saw the trailer of them stuffing the money into their underwear to get out of the building, I said, that's it.
Diane Keaton is not making good choices lately.
I think she takes the work that comes her way, quite frankly. I don't think she gets offered a lot of good stuff anymore.
She's such a good actress.
She used to be one of the best.
Some real crap lately.
Here's a scene where Diane Keaton's telling Queen Latifah and Katie Holmes that she wants to keep stealing money from this very secure bank that they all work in, but they somehow managed to find a way to steal money from.
I think we need more.
Don't get greedy.
Don, you've worked your ass off for 30 years and for what? Jackie, there must be something that you've always wanted to do with your life.
Yes, I want to see Czechoslovakia and India.
Of course,
actually, there is no Czechoslovakia.
What?
It's either the Czech Republic now or Slovakia.
Since when?
1992.
Okay.
Alrighty.
I feel like throwing Ted Danson a life preserver, just pulling him right out of this movie.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize his voice.
He plays Diane Keaton's husband in this. So
yeah.
Please enjoy.
Yeah.
And lastly, a little movie called Cloverfield. I don't know if I've mentioned this or
you
not.
You haven't? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heard anything about
but,
this?
It is the return of the monster movie, reinvented for the post-9/11, post-YouTube, post-handycam generation. It is your basic horror movie. But imagine if you were like one of the people running in the streets of Tokyo from Godzilla.
Hi!
And you saw the video diary of what was going on with those people. That's the basic point of view. You get everything from the point of view of the people going through the experience rather than seeing the monster ravaging the city. And it makes for a much more emotionally involving and, quite frankly, a more frightening film. I loved this movie. The special effects are outstanding, yet subtle enough that it doesn't overpower the film. The sound is terrific. Go to a good theater, by the way, and sit about halfway to the back of the theater, because it is all done in the style of a handheld camera, and the motion can get a little bit chaotic.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. But the movie is just outstanding. It will it'll blow you away. I really loved it. Here's a little clip, several clips we put together from Cloverfield.
My name is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do.
Do you know what that thing is?
Whatever it is, it's winning.
Do you have any idea what's out there?
I don't care what's out there. Listen to me. She's dying.
Turn that camera.
Run!
Still filming?
Yeah. People are going to want to know, you know, how it all went down.
Get goosebumps just hearing it.
I mean, okay.
Good stuff. Good
the monster
stuff.
Has teeth in its vagina.
Exactly.
That's what you're telling
That's
me.
What the monster is. It's a giant vagina that bites the head off the Statue of Liberty and spits it out of its vulva. And I suggest you go see this movie early, because as people go to see it, they will be talking about it. They'll be talking about the monster and stuff. You don't want any surprises ruined for you, so you might want to check it out as soon as you possibly can. But obviously, by far, my choice this weekend is Cloverfield. Go check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
So if you missed the 80s, if you wish it were 1986, have we got great news for you. It is throwback night with the Anaheim Supercross tomorrow at Angel Stadium of Anaheim. Doors open at 12:30, main event at 7 o'clock. We couldn't be more excited to welcome Chad Reed on the phone with us right now. Chad, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Beach on K-Rock.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good.
Good
thank
to
you.
Talk to you, man. I don't believe we've talked to a lot of your colleagues. I don't believe we've ever had you on before. But you grew up and started the sport back home in Australia, right?
Yeah. Grew up in Australia and moved here in 02. So cool. I looked up to a lot of the guys that were kind of having a bit of a throwback for this weekend.
Now it's an 80s throwback. Jeremy McGrath, Rick Johnson, David Bailey, Brock Glover, Mickey Diamond, a bunch of other people are going to be having signings. They're going to sign autograph stuff. And you're going to be wearing the outfits that they wore back then, is that right?
We're going to try.
I saw you in that wig, in that black mullet wig. That does not look
wig.
You don't have to race in that, do you?
I hope not. Get a big helmet, but that was pretty fun. You know, just kind of get out there, be a little bit different. You know, show a little personality, and you know, I was born in 82, so I don't really remember the 80s too much. So it's kind of
you were four in 86. You should remember that.
Hey, Chad, when you see the 80s bikes from back in the day, I mean, you know how far how fast technology moves in your sport as much as any of them. I mean, the advancements that they make even year to year with new stuff that they you know, try to make the bikes aerodynamically better and go faster and everything. You must just look at them like they're in a museum. They're just relics. You can't imagine people raced on bikes that old, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I was racing. That was my first year of racing, so I was on a Pee-wee 50, and those bikes haven't still changed to this day, but everything else has pretty much come leaps and bounds. It's like going to look at dinosaurs when you see those bikes nowadays.
You guys should all race on those 50s. That would be awesome. Full-size human beings racing on those tiny little bikes.
They do it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
They do it.
This is Anaheim Stadium. Bean mentioned it is tomorrow, Saturday, January 19th. And we have a, if you go to Ticketmaster, we have a K-Rock special. You can get the tickets for $10.67. All you have to do is enter K-Rock 08 in the promotion box, and then it'll give you the discount.
Yeah, it gives you the tickets for $10.67. It's like saving $20 a ticket. I mean, it's a fantastic deal. It's like paying 1986 prices. Now, is your ultimate nemesis, James Stewart, going to be racing there tomorrow, too?
He'll be there. So, looking forward to a good battle. You know, I kind of got the Anaheim one out of the way, and I got that win. So, and then he got the second round, so I think it's my turn again.
What's it like for you guys? I know it's different from sport to sport, but when you're real competitive with somebody like him, you're neck and neck in the points all season long. Are you still able to be friends and have a beer at the end of the thing, or is it really like more like boxers where you've got to kind of give him the stink eye every time you see him just to kind of keep the competition hot?
It depends on the person. You know, James kind of has a personality where he doesn't want to be friends with no one, so kind of keeps that easy. You know, you just kind of look at him and whatever, dude, you know.
So stink eye it is. I got you. Tell us about the race on Saturday. What's an 80s track look like?
Actually, I got the chance to ride it yesterday. It's pretty interesting. Doesn't have a whole lot of, rhythm or flow to it to what we normally are used to, but you know, I've been doing this a while, so it's kind of nice to actually go there and be excited to have a completely new track. And I think it's going to be really tough, and a lot of mistakes are going to be made, and all that kind of stuff. But it has actually, surprisingly, it has a lot of big jumps on it. There's one jump that's normally it's 65, but they've lengthened it 10 feet to 75. So it's pretty fun. Looking forward to it.
Can you hear much of the music that gets played when you're racing? I mean, for 86 night, I imagine it's going to be your Motley Crue's and your Warrants and stuff like that. Were you going to be able to hear any of that when you're out there?
It's great. You can hear a lot, actually. As loud as that bikes are, you can still actually hear the crowd a lot and the music and all that kind of stuff. The music when you're on the starting line is, it's intense. Your heart rate's running at 140 and you're not even doing nothing and you're just ready to go, So looking forward to it.
This is going to be a very cool event, and I guess Anaheim is getting three of the Supercrosses this season. As you mentioned, you won the first one, and then number two is going to be tomorrow, and then the third one's going to be down the road. But it's really cool that K-Rock is offering these $10.67 upper deck tickets again as a tribute to the throwback night. You can go to Ticketmaster.com, enter K-Rock 08 in the promotion box to get that discount. And as Lightning, our producer, is fond of telling us, you have it's watching it on TV is one thing, but this is one of the events you got to see in person.
Yeah, it's way better. It's way cool. And it's all day on Saturday. It's 12:30. The doors open and qualifying, and then the main event's at 7 o'clock. Chad Reed, thanks very much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hopefully everyone comes out. Check out the Salmon Wheel Yamaha 22 and have some fun.
Fantastic.
You bet, man. Good luck to you tomorrow, man.
Good luck with that wig. Bye now. Thank you, Lisa. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Congratulations to Christine Aguilera, who just got home after being released from the hospital 4 days after undergoing a C-section to deliver her son, Max. She describes the experience to be more painful than she thought it would be.
I've never heard that before.
Really, Christina? You thought when they gutted you like a fish, that was going to be somehow a comfortable experience for you? They cut your stomach open, they move your organs around, and they pull out a baby out of you. Then they sew you back up again.
Yeah.
If they cut through all your stomach muscles.
Yeah.
It seemed to me someone should explain that to her before she signed on to the procedure. Yeah, just sign this here. It's just a C-section. It's fine. What's it like? I don't know. You ever had a boil lanced? Anyway, she's back. And congratulations to Britney Spears. Her career is back on track.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you saw it or not, but apparently she is now appearing in a sequel to There Will Be Blood.
Oh, come on. Now with that.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the photos or not. Now they're available at whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, WWTDD.com.
I don't think you want to go, people.
It's Britney Spears out on a shopping spree, mm-hmm. providing us with photographic evidence that she is, in fact, not pregnant. How can we tell? Well, she's getting out of a, looks to be a Hummer of some kind, and she's wearing black fishnet stockings with gaping holes in them.
Yeah.
And she is getting out in her usual sort of a spread eagle way, but thankfully for all of us, she is wearing panties.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Unfortunately, the downside is there are white cotton panties and...
Were white cotton panties.
Brittany apparently has a visit from Aunt Flo.
Oh, yeah!
So I guess she's not pregnant.
Hmm.
Nor is a lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Look, well, never needs to be public, right? Ever.
Well.
Well, there are things that they've created so that you don't really do that to your underwear. And people who are actually conscious take care of that, but I don't think she's conscious.
Lisa, maybe you can help me out with this story. But I've heard a rumor that they have different sorts of female products.
All kinds of things,
Ralph. That you can use to protect your underwear from those type of stains.
Half an aisle in every grocery store.
Yeah.
Why?
Why indeed?
You know, while she was looking at pregnancy tests, right in that aisle where the pregnancy tests are, where she was in the Rite Aid, right in that aisle.
Same aisle.
Maxi pads, OB, Tampax, you name it.
Wasn't she clothes shopping?
Psychomicro. Yeah, she was at Kitson at 1:30 in the morning.
Clothes shopping.
Clothes shopping. I would not want to be the person who tried on the pants that she tried on.
No.
After she came out of the changing room.
That's wonderful.
I don't know how she could be any grosser. I don't think what she... I mean, unless she's going on Two Girls, One Cup, I don't know what else she could do to freak us out more than she already has.
Yeah.
That's so hot.
No, sir. No. Sir.
I think she's typo negative. We run some of that kitchenware down to the lab and see what comes up.
Man.
And we've got further information on the Travis Barker story we were battling about earlier in the Showbiz Beat. Travis Barker suing Rockstar Energy Drink for placing a picture of him drinking a Rockstar on their company website. Now, keep in mind, this isn't an ad or a commercial they were running. This is just them showing him. And apparently it was one of those gifting suites, too, where Rockstar was giving out free Rockstar to the celebrities who came by the gifting suite to get free stuff, mind you.
Right.
And he was drinking it, and they took a photo of him, and they put it on their website. And Bean thinks Rockstar should be bankrupt and out of business, apparently.
Well, I didn't say that, and I also
the business.
I also didn't know the circumstances of how he got the beverage. And it does make a difference if he's going to a promotional suite. It's not just like he was on the street drinking.
Oh, I see. Oh, now
that makes
a
difference.
Oh, listen to your tune change now, Liberace.
I didn't have that before.
How does this make him Liberace?
I don't know.
Okay.
Ruben sends me this email. I believe Travis's beef with Rockstar is that he already has a deal with Hansen's energy drink Monster.
Oh. Oops. Interesting.
It would probably look very poorly upon him for drinking a competitor. So, Ruben adds. So maybe that's the problem he's got with it. Maybe he doesn't want to be seen drinking that product because he's already got a contract with somebody else, and that would put him in Dutch, as they used to say.
Makes sense.
So, more information sometimes helps. Unless you're Bean, you just go off willy-nilly with no facts whatsoever.
That's me.
I don't know if you've seen the photos or video, rather, on TMZ.com, but Chris Martin, he's got a bit of a temper. He was helping his wife, Gwyneth Paltrow, out of the hospital the other day, and the paparazzi attacked. And Chris decided he had had an assful. Grabs one of these photographers screaming, "Have some respect," and shoves him to the ground and takes his camera.
Ooh,
he's a delight.
I don't know how you would not get angry at that.
I can't imagine either, especially when your wife is sick and you're concerned about her and you're in the hospital. And it's just, you should get beat up if you do that. That's all I'm saying. Or if you're going to take the pictures, take it from across the street. You know, they have all kinds of lenses now. You can take all kinds of photos. You don't need to be in a guy's face when he's coming out of the hospital dealing with his wife being sick. You just don't need to.
That's true.
Stupid First Amendment.
He had it coming.
Can't we just temper the First Amendment with a little common decency, though?
I wish people would just voluntarily. I wish they would do that.
Yeah. Jamie Lynn Spears is pregnant and now alone, according to In Touch magazine. Jamie Lynn's boyfriend and alleged father of her baby, Casey Aldridge, has dumped her and is now demanding a paternity test because he's not sure if he's the father anymore.
Fantastic.
The story keeps getting better, people.
Wow. Wow.
And congratulations to the Directors Guild. They, unlike the writers, have reached a settlement with the Association of Motion Picture and TV Producers. They started negotiating 6 days ago, and they've already got a new deal. And their deal wasn't even up until June, so looks like their deal is in place.
So sit down early and in good faith and go ahead and come to an agreement and don't have a work stoppage? Is that what you're suggesting?
It seems to be a better solution than the alternative.
But I don't think the directors were screwed the way the writers were last time around either.
No.
I don't blame the directors at all.
The directors had a little bit more of a deal already in place before they went back to the bargaining
table. And Ralph, are there less directors than writers?
Oh, yeah.
By a long shot, right?
Yeah, the members of the DGA number 13,500 members.
Yeah.
Which is a lot
less. That makes a difference, too.
But they're saying that what the director hammered out with the Association of Motion Picture and TV Producers could be used as a template in a way to try to settle the writer's strike by using some of the same agreements. So hopefully this will help move the two sides closer together.
It's the announcement they made yesterday.
Suck on that!
That was the directors?
Yep.
They're very happy.
Very happy.
Speaking of pieces of audio, this Tom Cruise Scientology video.
Yes.
Just keeps coming. It's like the Britney Spears of weirdness,
yeah.
Of lunacy, of frightening, of mania.
Scariness.
He now, in this clip we've got from the video where he accepted his award for the Freedom Medal of Valor.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. The giant hubcap that he hung around his neck. him talking about how Scientologists really don't need permission from the rest of us to do what they do. They're going to do it whether we like it or not, pretty much.
Okay.
Here he is talking, coming to the rescue of some of the rescue workers during the 9/11 attack. He claims to be one of the first people who stepped up and tried to help these people for what they were doing, because he has to act. He can't help but act. He's got to, because he's a Scientologist.
Tom Cruise was one of the first people to step up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here is it's just a creepy little segment from that video.
A Scientologist is someone who can look at the world and really see what it is. Not only look at it and see it, but be able to go and be effective and do something about it. And someone who's not asking permission to do that. Why ask permission? We are the authorities.
Oh, dear God.
Dude.
Creepy.
Oh, dear God. In other words, they can do whatever they want.
This gets worse and worse.
Because they know better than us.
He has an intensity that goes beyond just, hey, this is something I believe. This is, hey, this is the old, this is the word of God, is his intensity.
Yeah. He's a homo.
Oh, no, that's
not what we're saying at all.
Holy smokes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No one's more heterosexual, but he's very scary in his devotion.
And his heterosexuality.
Yes.
Yes. Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. Tom's playing a Nazi in his next movie.
What are the odds?
Sure. What are the odds?
Mm. He's a total gaylord.
We are the master race. We can do what we want without your permission. We have the authority.
I don't think the church can be church in quotes, can be happy with him. Do you think? I mean,
they were probably happy with him. They're not happy this got out, that's for sure.
I guess.
It's freaking scary.
It is. It is.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Kevin Costner turns 53 years old today. Jesse L. Martin from Law & Order turns 39. Jason Segel from Freaks and Geeks, and now from How I Met Your Mother, 28 years old today. Jonathan Davis, lead singer for Korn, is 37. And I do not want to forget to wish a happy birthday to Jennifer Lee Wiggins, star of Shapeshifter, Bone Eater, and Vice Squad Vixens.
Ralph, since when are you taking requests for birthdays?
Look, Jay sent me an email. Listener Jay sent me an email and said, you have to mention Jennifer Lee Wiggins. Everybody I know is...
Sorry, we're out of time.
Come on, guys. No, but don't screw with this.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Don't
screw
with this.
What are you talking about?
I think I know what I'm talking about. Why don't you tell me what I'm talking about?
Well, we don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you tell us?
How can I know what you're talking about if you don't know what you're talking about? How do you know we know
what you're
talking
about?
What
are
you guys talking about?
That's a good question, Lisa. Who's on the phone, Kevin?
Paul Scherfe? Scherfe?
Yes, it's Scherfe.
Chief Administrative Officer, Superior Court, King County, Washington?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're in charge of the jury duty system there, huh?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. You might have a rogue juror on your hands, and we just want to point it out to you ahead of time.
That is not the case at all. Paul, they're doing this for comedy's sake. I am so excited about my jury duty that begins at the King County Courthouse on Tuesday morning. I've been looking forward to it for months.
Now,
we're not arguing that.
That voice is Bean. He works on a radio show here in Southern California, and he has.
But he lives in Washington State.
Yes,
yes.
And he's had some things to say that we think maybe you ought to hear.
We're just concerned that he will be a juror next week, sir, and we think, as good citizens, we needed to alert you to the fact that he may not be the most unbiased juror to use in the courtroom.
First of all, this is we're talking about Mr. Baxter. Yes,
yes,
that's right.
Here's his juror number.
So I am no longer to be known as Bean. I am now juror 10230-8715. That's how I would like to be called.
Okay, you can be called that.
So we just think you should put a red flag on this number come Tuesday.
Well, we don't call our jurors by their numbers. That
okay.
Sort of makes it sound like prison, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, some people think about it that way. But actually, you know, I was speaking to these gentlemen before,
yes,
Mr. Baxter, and you were asked to report on the 22nd. Is that true?
That's right. Tuesday morning, yeah. 8 o'clock. I'll be there.
Right.
Before you make your decision, though, sir, let me play another clip. This is we were talking about the topic of David Copperfield. Remember when he had his island of rape? Remember that?
Yes.
Took a woman down there, and she says that he raped him. Mm-hmm. And Bean, for some reason, kind of sided with Copperfield on that topic.
Yeah. I guess my surprise is that she didn't want to have sex with him because I thought that's why she went.
I would like the state of Washington to hear this piece of tape before Bean gets impaneled as a juror.
I agree.
In any particular case coming up.
Okay, so that was that clip. Just so you're aware, I don't know what kind of cases are coming up on
Tuesday. If he gets a rape case, we're saying if a woman goes to the guy's house, she's asking for it, is what he thinks, sir.
That's a complete mischaracterization. Oh. Mr. Scherfe, please don't listen to them.
Here's
Wait, this was publicly expressed on
on
a radio show.
Yeah. Well, over the air, and we've got it on tape.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Then he said this.
I am so going to send a man to death. I just can't wait."
Okay, that I don't know that you want that guy a juror.
Do you want a juror who's eager to give someone the death penalty, sir?
Well, you know, we've never had a situation like this. I don't think. But I do have to tell you, there, in all seriousness, I mean, this is very funny and humorous and everything, but. Mr. Baxter, I do have to tell you that sometimes problems like this come up, and I actually spoke to the presiding judge in this case, and the prosecuting attorney, Mr. Dan Satterberg, and the problem is, and I'm sure you can understand, while you know we appreciate your enthusiasm for wanting to serve on a jury, honestly, I wish everybody sort of felt that way about serving on a jury, but if there is a publicly expressed bias or prejudice,
sure, you can't bring that in.
Well, then, what could happen is if let's say the defendant is found guilty, then the defense attorneys could come to the appellate judge, mm-hmm. go to an appeal process, mm-hmm. and say, listen, we need to throw this case out because. Juror number 7 or juror number 2 or whatever has in a public forum expressed some bias or
sure.
some prejudice.
It would seem like and the defense would be able to use that against the case.
Well, the most famous case in this particular situation is Mark Furman.
Sure.
Sure.
And you know, he wrote a book and in that book expressed some racist remarks. Now, whether that was in context or out of context doesn't matter.
It did come back to affect the case.
That's true.
It is true. It did.
Paul,
it did.
One other thing to consider. I asked Bean what he was excited about being on a jury. Ooh. What is it that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
Okay.
See,
so,
really? These are the statements that we have
but
to,
clearly,
we thought we needed just, to bring to your attention, sir.
Is that the kind of juror that you need? I'm just saying the headache that it brings, you might want to cancel that juror.
It could be disastrous for the
service,
the state of Washington.
I would say that would certainly preclude someone from serving on a jury.
Let me just play that one more time, if you don't mind. What is it that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
Okay.
You know, so. That's clear as a bell. It's
so
not.
Mr. Scherfey,
we thought maybe we could save the state of Washington some time and expense. If you could just kick Bean out of the process at this point, we could all just go about our business.
My whole life I've wanted to serve on a jury, and I will leave that kind of attitude at the door when I arrive at the courthouse on Tuesday morning. Don't worry. I won't be saying anything like that.
Which kind of attitude? This?
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
That kind of attitude?
There's not going to be any talk like that. I'm going to be impartial and unbiased. I am going to be the model juror. And frankly, Mr. Scherfey, I'm hoping to get on a trial that lasts at least a year so I can get out of this den. I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
Well, was that Mr. Baxter?
Yes, that was him saying that.
Is that a tape that you're playing?
Yes.
Yes.
Him saying
but
that?
He did say that live over the airwaves, sir.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, see that, I'm really sorry, Mr. Baxter, but something like that, you know, if it wasn't such a public forum and so evidenced, you know. I mean, there's a record.
Yeah,
right. You saying
it's not a record, but it's a tape.
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
It means it's on the record.
Oh, Kevin, oh, I see.
All right, so great, Mr. Chase. I'll see you Tuesday morning, then.
I'm so sorry to tell you.
Probably
that,
not, right?
I mean, I do have to make a notation in your.
Oh, please don't do that.
Listen,
if he has to notate. It's
prejudicial, is what it is.
What are you going to do?
Well, this is not to say that you won't come up for jury duty again.
Right.
But I have to tell you that. Once we make a notation on a potential juror, that stays.
Okay, but I've waited my whole life to be a juror. This is the first time I've ever been called for service.
Right.
Don't take it away from me.
And what is it that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
See?
That's
too bad. I'm glad I used a fake name on the voter rolls. That's the only thing that's going to save me.
Put his photo up at the courthouse. Shoot on site, sir, if you wouldn't mind.
I wish I could tell you that you'd be able to serve on a jury, but I just don't see how that.
Well, you got to make whatever decision you need to make. Yeah. We just wanted to make you aware of it.
Bean
should
have thought of that before he started saying stuff like that.
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah. Don't listen to anything they've got to say. Right. They're just having a laugh. That's all. I'll see you bright and early, 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, sir. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, all right. Thank you.
It's time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Toll free as usual, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to get in the air. We'll give you a pair of tickets to Supercross Round 2 at Angel Stadium of Anaheim. That's tomorrow, the special throwback night you'll be hearing about. And don't forget, you can get those tickets for just $10 with KROCK08 at Ticketmaster as the password.
All right, let's begin with Jeff in Hollywood. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Going on.
Just calling about Bean, see if we can get him reinstated as a juror.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Why would you want him as a juror?
So we can put all the minorities in jail.
Look, that was clearly a joke. I want to put guilty people in jail no matter what color they are. Uh-huh. I was just making a joke, and I'm going to be an excellent juror.
Sure, Grand Wizard, whatever you say.
Right. By the way, you guys haven't thought of this possibility, but it does happen that people show up for jury duty, and they end up being impaneled on a jury for like a year. Are you prepared for that?
Yes.
Prepared? Try praying.
From your lips to God's ears.
Really? You would be very happy if I called you guys Tuesday and said, you're not going to believe this, but I'm on jury for a year.
How do you think we'd feel?
Are you out of your mind?
I don't know. I hoped you might miss me for a minute.
What
that's all.
What would give you that idea? Where would that? How could that enter your mind?
Because I would feel that way about any of you.
No,
if we were to lose
wouldn't.
Ralph for a year, or Kevin, or Lisa, or anybody, I would think it would be bad for the show.
Seriously,
that's why.
You could lose me for a year, though.
No, I wouldn't want to see that happen at all.
I would.
I'd like to be lost for a year. Can I work that out?
Christy and Burbank. Good morning.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
Well, I was at an unnamed spa a few weeks ago, and I happened to turn around and see step out of the shower Vivica A. Fox completely naked.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, what a wonderful image.
Yes, it was fantastic. And later when we were leaving, she walked right by us, and my husband went, "Hey, there's Vivica A. Fox." I said, "I know. I saw her naked in the jacuzzi room." And he said, "And?" I'm like, "Oh, she looked fantastic."
Oh, she's a beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah. She she's got just a smoking body.
Yeah.
Did you get yourself a little bit of that in the jacuzzi?
Well, I thought about it, but she was heading off over to the jacuzzi, and I can't go in there right now because I'm pregnant, so.
Ah.
Whatever, with your unborn child. It's Vivica A. Fox. How many chances are you going to get like that? You can always have more kids.
It's true. Hey. It's true. I should have thought better.
Yes.
Christy, I'm glad you brought it up because here's a perfect example of a minority I would not put in jail for. Instance, I don't care what Vivica A. Fox does. She's innocent.
She can get away with it because she's hot?
Exactly.
Bean will put her in her private jail in the barn where he's got the rest of his prisoners.
All right, let's go to Ted in Long Beach. Good morning, Ted.
What'd it do? Man, Vivica, that'd be nice.
That's what I'm talking about. Distracting, isn't it?
Yeah, but basically, you guys were talking about saving people's lives earlier this week, and about 3 months ago, I thought I was saving someone's life.
You thought?
I go jogging like 3-4 o'clock in the morning due to work, and while I was running through a park, I hear some muffled screaming and commotion coming from some bushes. I gotta check it out. I see a guy wearing a hoodie over his face and stuff like that.
Oh no!
Top of this girl, and it looks really bad. It looks like he's raping her. I just run over there, grab the guy off, I start kicking the crap out of him.
No.
Good for you.
Okay. And then the problem is the girl comes up behind me and grabs me. Goes, stop! What are you doing? I'm totally confused at this point. Turns out it was her husband.
Why are they
trying to spice up the marriage a little bit? A little
role play.
They were role playing.
Oh,
a little outdoor thrill action.
Oh,
dude.
No.
These are my neighbors that live a block away from me. Oh.
Excellent. Excellent.
You
literally started kicking the guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I threw him off. He was on the ground. I started kicking him in the ribs.
That's the best.
Well, they may sue you, but you're my hero.
Talk about the top of the mountain to the valley, right? In 1 second,
But think of the realism he added to their role-playing scenario.
True.
Good point.
They should add him to it every time they do it.
That's right.
It's like Tom Cruise showed up.
At some point, he's going to run through. All right.
That's a great story.
Let's go to Michael and Chino. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, I just got to say my wife is really jealous, and she made the biggest mistake of her life.
Okay.
I had my therapist call to verify a therapy appointment, and we're real cool, so she just called and said, hey, Michael, this is Sonia, call me back, and my wife thought it was another girl, so she poured, really hot water in my fish tank and killed all my fish.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Dude, get out of there before she moves on to the bunny.
Seriously, Michael, time to move on.
Yeah.
Did you tell your therapist this story?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm going to tell her today.
Good times.
You got to get out of there.
Someone's going to buy me a whole new fish tank.
Yes, they are.
What happens the next time when she's pouring scalding water on your junk while you're sleeping?
Yeah, I think your fish tank should be the least of your worries at this point.
I don't know. I think she needs therapy, man.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for the call. You don't kill someone's pet, whether they're having an affair or not. That's just not the answer.
It's, two tanks of your little swimmers I'd look out for next time.
That's right.
So much the fish tank.
Ralph, you want to close with someone who's seen the Cloverfield?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to talk to somebody about Cloverfield because that's the problem. I've seen it, but not a lot of people have. So
I don't see what
Ray line. Is in Long Beach. Good morning, Ray. What it do?
Hey, Ray.
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Ray.
Lisa May.
Ray, what'd you think of the Cloverfield?
Okay, so I went to see Cloverfield. Midnight release last night. I was on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this movie. It's good. It was a great movie. Great. I love the cinematography. It was awesome.
Okay.
But probably 3/4 of the movie, I start to feel a little queasy.
There is a lot of motion
still
with
watching,
that camera.
Still watching.
From the handheld camera?
Yeah.
That would kill me.
Literally. Handheld. I mean, they even drop it a couple times.
Yeah, they do.
So we're running through the city, and I'm getting queasy, man.
Oh, no.
Get up. Start to walk around, go get a drink of water, come back. And as soon as I sit down and start again, throw up all over my date's shoes.
Oh, no.
All over your date's shoes.
It was awful. It was awful.
Well, the good thing about women is they don't like their shoes. So that's, you got that going.
Well,
for
that
you.
Was fun for the whole row, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Okay, good times.
What a nightmare.
It was terrible. It's a good movie, though. I'm not discouraging the movie.
It is a great movie, it's a valid concern that if the motion, if you're easily made sick by motion, then you might want to move to the back of the theater.
Or if you're going to see the movie with a guy named Ray.
Yeah, exactly.
Stand clear.
Don't.
Stand clear.
Thanks very much for the call, Ray. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Andrew Siciliano for joining us.
Oh.
No way to see him on the TV or hear him on the radio. He's kind of like the invisible sports commenter, but he's terrific, and we enjoyed having him on. Also, thanks to Academy Award-winning actress Mira Sorvino for joining us. Don't miss her special guest appearance on the TV show House. That airs immediately after the Super Bowl. Thanks to Matt Reeves, the director of Cloverfield, opening today. And thanks to Chad Reed, Anaheim Supercross number 2, Angel Stadium of Anaheim. That's going to be tomorrow. Doors open at 12:30, the main event at 7. Sounds like good times.
Monday we're off. Tuesday we have an all-new show for you. We got hopefully Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm. A lot to talk about.
We have Lightning, our producer, who has a skill that none of us seem to be able to have, and that is you can tell him the color of your car.
Color, make, model.
Color, make, and model, and he'll tell you what race you are and how old.
Tell you everything that's about not, you. He'll read your
that's
car.
That's not possible.
He reads your car.
He
look,
reads your
that's
car.
That's not possible.
We didn't think
if
the water test was
right,
possible.
But if I were to say to Lightning, I drive, as I do, by the way, a 2003 Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
There's no way he knows I'm an old white guy. You know what I mean?
He knows you're a fruit.
Giant, goofy fruit is what he would say.
All right.
And on Tuesday morning, we have details on Coachella.
Oh. That's what I'm talking about.
Little thing called Coachella with
seems
a band
like we
called
just had Coachella, doesn't
Boner
it?
Sweat is going to be headlining Coachella. Boner
We're
sweat.
Not allowed to give any kind of preview.
Beagle
Kevin.
Meat.
Nope, the announcement is Tuesday morning
Ballsack,
at 7:15.
Ballsack Road Rash is on Sunday.
Well,
we got a
nope.
great list here. Reprehensible well. Pricks is praying. It's playing. It's going to be such a good time.
Scrotum jaw cables?
Yes.
Good.
They're there.
No, no. Not allowed to say. You got to wait till Tuesday, guys. It's
pixelated
all privileged information.
Oh, I love them.
Don't give it away.
So good. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Aretha Franklin?
Pass it over to me.
She does good work.
Got to wait until Tuesday, guys.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The uppity retards?
Mm, they're good. Pop, pop.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another.
Together.
Go ahead. Go ahead and say it. You're already laughing about it. Which one is it?
Picnic basket.
Really? Picnic baskets on Coachella?
Oh, they are good.
There's a Motley, right?
Roll another one.
How about Remote Control Hyman? Are they playing?
Oh, they're good. Yeah.
Just like the other one.
Bacon Horse?
Well, oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to end.
Vampire's Teabag?
Oh,
no,
very
yeah.
good. I don't have another cent.
It's not going to be much left to announce come Tuesday that we are going.
Angela's Crust.
I don't want to guard that joint. Just pass it around.
Captain's Log?
Mm. What about Veiny Dawn? Where
yes.
are they?
Cut, print, gay.
Bye. Okay, bye. Bye. Okay, bye.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Thank you for listening. And God bless our troops.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is Santa Monica!